Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
This is Mike Kessa, Ultimate Fighter Live Champion. You listen to the Roman Show.
What's up? This is Nate Diaz. Keep listening to the Roman Show.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here. And if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMATotheMax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMATotheMax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
I printed the lyrics of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and would you?
I know the lyrics.
Would you do us the honors of spitting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on, come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
And yes, there we are, starting this Roman Show episode with DMX singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, December 5th, Roman Show. Kind of psyched already for the holidays. What's up, Camilo from El Octagono, joining me on the other side. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad that you're playing some Christmas DMX songs. I saw the video, and I'm a huge DMX fan, so I was glad that he did that. You know, hopefully he'll come out with his own Christmas Carol CD or something.
Can you imagine that? A DMX holiday CD, that would just be a classic. I just couldn't imagine. But you must forgive me. I'm a little bit under the weather, but hanging in there. Hopefully the vitamin C pills that you take can help out a lot. You know, a lot of people say take the vitamin C and take the little emergencies. What do you tend to use, Camilo, to get over a cold?
Well, you know, what I normally do is, luckily, I don't get sick that easily. And when I do get sick, it's bad, but it goes, you know, like 2-3 days and then it's gone. So what I normally take, it's some NyQuil. You know, so I go to sleep, get knocked out, and then during the day I'll take some, you know, like some Dayquil, something for the daytime. But as far as like drinks and stuff, in Colombia, there's this stuff called panela, which is it's like brown sugar, and it's like this little brick. And so you heat that up with water, and you boil it, so you make this tea, this hot tea. and then you pour it into a cup, and you add some lime. You squeeze some lime into it, and you drink that. That kind of helps you out. And if you got a sore throat, you use some lime with some honey on a tablespoon, and take a couple of those.
Nice. Hey, I've heard of that remedy. Guys, if you guys have a special remedy for cold, tweet it to us at Roman DH. I'd like to hear from you guys. By the way, we have a stacked show for you tonight, starting off with Lisa Boom Palomino, who will be fighting on a CFA card January 19th. He'll be followed by Tisha Torres, who will be fighting on the Invicta FC card on January 5th, followed by Leslie Smith, who will also fight on that card in Invicta FC 4, and also Amanda Bell follows during the 10 o'clock hour. But prior to that, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have UFC fighter Nate Diaz, who will be competing against Benson Henderson this Saturday night on Fox. UFC on Fox number 5, so we'll have him on the show. And at the end, an unfortunate news, Camilo, because when I heard this, you know, it is a pre-recorded interview, but Mike Chiesa, we had a chance to interview him, but unfortunately, we found out that he will not be competing earlier this week. He had to drop out because of an illness. That's unfortunate, because when you hear the interview, Camilo, it's going to break your heart. Seriously, I'm not kidding, because this kid was looking forward to fighting in his hometown, in front of his people, and fighting for the UFC, a dream of his come true. So stay tuned to the interview. It's a very good interview, but unfortunately, he will not be competing. But, Camilo, I want to open up with a rumor going on right now as we speak. And they're already saying that Ronda Rousey versus Cyborg at UFC 157. That is the rumor going on right now.
I have not heard that one yet. I know Liz Carmouche has been asking Dana White publicly to please let her be the one to fight against Ronda Rousey. But I hope that rumor is true about the Ronda Rousey and Cyborg. You know, there was a lot of stuff coming out of Cyborg's camp that she couldn't make 135 because of the medical issues. But I don't know, man. I mean, everybody wants to see that fight, and hopefully that rumor is true.
That's what they're saying right now. That is the latest rumor. Again, it has not been confirmed, but that's what the word out on the street, that Ronda Rousey versus Cyborg at UFC 157. Let's see,
Roman,
if we could hear some clarification from the UFC. What's up?
You want to hear another rumor?
Hit me up.
Steven Seagal versus Randy Couture.
Oh, boy, did you... I was going to talk about that later. Can you believe that? What's going on with these two? And you know, Randy Couture, I know he said something on some video, but come on, seriously, guys. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's the dark side of the internet. You know, Randy Couture says some joke, you know, kind of saying, pretty much saying, I'm not coming out of my retirement anytime soon for, you know, unless something crazy were to happen. And somebody ran with it, tried to make it, you know, into this thing, got back to Steven Seagal. And the bad thing is that it kind of made it seem like Randy Couture was, I guess, you know, talking crap in a sense. That, like, oh, you know, I'll take this guy on. And it's not even like that.
Yeah, that's something interesting there. As far as that going on. But listen, this is another thing going on before we bring in Luis Pabón Palomino. This is according to this website, VendettaFighter.com. The Culinary Workers Union, who have been strongly against the UFC for the past few years, sent a formal complaint to a Fox executive in regards to lightweights Jeremy Stephens and Abel Trujillo competing on the UFC on Fox 5 card due to the recent legal issues. This is interesting. We had Abel Trujillo just last week. Now, it says here, according to his letter, that they are writing to alert you about two UFC fighters who are scheduled to compete, blah, blah, blah. It says Jeremy Stephens, a professional cage fighter who competes under the nickname Little Hayes Heathen, has been charged with willful injury causing serious injury, burglary in first degree, and assault causing injury, and then a trial in the case is currently scheduled for January 9th. Now, as far as April, it says another cage fighter scheduled to compete on the UFC fight card on December 8th in Seattle has twice pleaded guilty to domestic abuse assault, causing injury and aggravated misdemeanor in both cases. The victim was identified as the mother of his child. In May 2007, Trujillo also pleaded guilty to obstruction of an emergency communication. In the plea agreement, Trujillo acknowledged that the crime required the state to prove that his alleged victim was making a 911 call. Wow. Now, this is one thing about this culinary workers group. From what I understand, they're very, very, very much against UFC or mixed martial arts. Now, to send a formal complaint to just remove two guys for something in the past with just a few days left to go, it's something something weird. I don't think that, you know, the past is the past, Camilo. You know, there's several cases where guys have ran into problems with the law, but it shouldn't stop them from fighting. You know, that's their career. That's something personal. As long as they're not doing anything wrong, correct? I mean, if they're in a trial, they got to wait for it, then they got to wait for it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because I understand, I understand that they might not be a supporter of the sport, mixed martial arts, and that they don't want to, help to, for example, legalize the sport in New York, and, that's been one of the reasons. But to start demanding to, punish these athletes for something that happened, in their past, I don't know how long ago it was, but I just don't see the sense of it. I mean, I don't remember the name of the fighter, but it wasn't that long ago. I guess it was like midway in 2012. There was a fighter in Strikeforce who had like a tattoo of a swastika, the Nazi swastika, and that stirred up some controversy. I mean, something like that, I kind of, I guess, maybe understand, why people will be offended, but because if somebody had like made a mistake in their past, years ago, they shouldn't be punished now, and hopefully they won't, they won't do anything against these fighters because, people make mistakes. It doesn't mean that they're bad people now.
Well, the thing that this group is saying is that they're not really talking primarily to the UFC. They're talking to Fox. And it says here, furthermore, that these criminal cases raise serious questions about Fox's programming judgment. At minimum, Fox and the UFC should wait for the resolution of an upcoming jury trial related to the allegations against Stevens before allowing Stevens to fight. So this is what they're saying, but the Culinary Workers Union has been big time against MMA. And they're all, now it seems like they're just going to individuals instead of the company themselves. Interesting note there. And this is according to Vendetta Fighter, who published this letter publicly. But we'll talk about that a little later. With that being said, guys, let's go ahead and move forward to our first guest, Mrs. Luis Babum Palomino. Very well-known fighter, has fought in Bellator, has fought in CFA, has fought in Florida here on several occasions, has fought even out of state as well in Michigan. The man has been around. He's a well-known person we had down here in South Florida as a mixed martial artist. Hello,
hello.
Baboon. Baboon,
hello.
How are you, my man? Baboon, how are you?
Hey,
you're
not from Rome.
Oh, that's pretty good, and you're on with... How are you, Baboon?
Good, good, brother, good.
Good, good. Well, you're on as well with Camilo Velotaro and Baboon. It's been some time since we last spoke. But first of all, can you hear me there, Baboon?
Who's this? Yeah, say it.
Baboon,
you
hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
I can
it's
hear
Rodolfo,
you.
The room.
Oh,
it's Rodolfo, the Roman show.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck, Camilo?
No. Camilo's on the other side. He's my co-host. But,
okay.
Yeah. But, Baboon, it's been some time since we last spoke. You'll be fighting January 19th. From what we understand, you'll be fighting Luis Buscapa Firmino, which should be a great matchup for you. But your last outing, you defeated your opponent, JD Cavalcante, in a remarkable fashion by knocking him out. You even stated yourself that it was one of the toughest challenges. But let's first talk about that. How are you preparing yourself? From what I understand, I took a look at some of the pictures on Facebook. You're now trying out different camps. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, as simple as it is I had some differences with my coaches. You know, it happens. And, you know, it's just like in a family or in a relationship. You know, it's not always you see eye to eye. So we had some differences, and there's no hard feelings for either side. And, you know, all that is going on is that I'm doing my own thing, brother. You know, I'm preparing myself for this fight.
And have you found that the camps, whether, you know, because you were MMA master. I mean, let's face it.
The way that I'm doing is I started through Facebook, and I put, you know, Facebook's the best thing to get business out there. You know, like,
uh-huh.
that's where everybody's watching. So I started by Facebook posting and letting people know that I'd be visiting every gym in Florida I was invited to. And luckily, a whole lot of people answered me, you know. A lot of people answered me. A lot of people have invited me to the gyms. And I'm just bouncing from gym to gym, bro. And it's a whole new experience. I think that the preparation for this fight is going to be a whole different round, man, a whole different way of getting ready. You know, everywhere that I go is competition. You know, I'm doing exactly what I want to do, you know, where I want to do it. And, you know, it's not people that I'm used to training with, you know, so that's a big difference, you know. So, you know, I'm just taking all the invites. I'm beginning with, I haven't even finished visiting all the gyms yet. So I'm just finishing all the invites that I've gotten, and whatever gym I didn't get invited to, I'm going to walk in anyways, man. And like I said, I'm not looking to challenge anybody. I'm not looking to disrespect anybody in their home at all, you know. I'm just straight up looking for competition and getting ready for my fight, brother, you know. I'm not trying to join no camp. You know, I want to make this fight, it's very personal for me, so I want to make this fight happen, and I want to do it on my own, you know?
So, Babun, so you say you train out different camps, and that was nice of them, that they opened up the doors for you, just as far as getting some training from different folks that you haven't trained with, or had perhaps even competed for. But, of course, you had some differences with MMA Masters, but could we see you there just to train every now and then, or that's pretty much it?
I'm training every single day, brother. The same schedule that I would train. Well, not the same schedule, but the same things that I would do, I'm doing. I train three times a day. I put in at least 6-7 hours a day, Monday to Saturday. You know, the only difference here now is that I'm doing it in different gyms, you know. And, you know, the pace is a lot different, too, because, you know, it's people that you never train. When you train with somebody you're not used to training with, it's not even a training session. It's just competition. You know, heart rate levels are a whole different stage, you know.
But would you ever find yourself training again in MMA Masters one day, perhaps in the future? Or just doing this for this specific
honestly,
fight?
Honestly speaking, man, I've moved on with my life. You know, I have no decision on going back to MMA Masters. I could tell you this much, man. They have the greatest coaches over there. I recommend it for anybody out there. It's just a point in my life where I've made a decision where I want to move on my own, and that's what I'm doing, brother, you know?
Gotcha. Well, you definitely are, because I saw you training with an American top team with, I think, Alexis Vila, no? You were training with? It was superb in wrestling.
They invited me to Coconut Creek, too, but I haven't made it there yet. They invited me to ABT Doral. I made it over there. I trained with Chris. What's his name? Chris, the black belt, and some other black belt just came from Brazil, 30-degree black belt. I don't know his name. That's why I didn't want to mention the gyms. I don't know exactly everybody's name that I'm training with.
No worries.
And I trained with this guy named Capichu. He's a Muay Thai coach there. Great guy. And I trained with Jason. I think his name is Jason. I don't know if it's Jason Kelly. He's a wrestling coach, man. Great wrestling.
Right.
You know, I sparred with some professional boxers there, too. You know, great sparring. You know, MMA camps are not the only camps I'm visiting. I visit a gym in Hialeah that is for, like, the Cuban Olympic boxers. Mm-hmm. And I went there today, man. Great sparring with professionals, you know, gold medalists, you know, I'm just doing my own thing, bro.
Well, that is just nice to know, you know, that these guys have opened the doors to train. I just think that's really cool on behalf of, and it just shows you how much the love and appreciation for a fighter goes in the world of MMA, you know.
If you think about it, man, when I was in MMA Masters, every time I finished a fight, every time I did an interview, I always kept my doors open to everybody. I always invited people, and people are just showing me the same love, man. You know, I'm grateful for that.
That is really awesome. Camilo?
Hey, Luis, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
And, you know, what you're going through, we've seen this a lot with a lot of fighters that are in the UFC, Strikeforce, Bellator, and it's part of evolution, you know. In order to improve, you have to keep on searching for different strategies, different opponents, different training partners. So, you know, a lot of respect to you for that. And a lot of people respect you, man. You're very well-spoken. You're very respectful to everybody. And in the posts that you were putting on Facebook, you made it very clear that you're not challenging anybody. You're not trying to pick a fight. But if anybody had anything to say to you while you were at that gym, that this was going to be the opportunity to get whatever it is off their chest during training. Now, did anyone step to you or at least tell you, hey, man, listen, this is what I feel. I just want to get this off my chest?
No, I haven't faced it yet. Like I said, I haven't visited every gym yet. But, yeah, I made it very clear because there are going to be some people like that. There are going to be people that are going to see me like, oh, he's in my house now. I got to do something. I got to prove myself. Or I have a personal issue with this guy. So, you know, there's people out there like that. You know, I'm not going to tell you that everybody fucking loves me, you know. I mean, it's not like that, you know. But, you know, if somebody has something they want to take off their chest with me for whatever reason that is, and they have one round, bro. They have one round because if I spar one round and we're brawling to the point that somebody's going to get hurt, I'm not looking to hurt anybody. I'm not looking to catch an injury before my fight, man. I'm a professional. I'm getting ready for my fight. If they have something more serious, then they can find me in the cage someday, talk to a manager, talk to George for CFA, you know, and if they qualify to fight me, they can fight me for real. But gym-wise, if they've got something, you know, then they have 5 minutes to get it over with. And if it's going to be like that, I just won't spar with him no more, bro. You know?
Yeah. And is there a specific camp that maybe you would like to visit to? Because, you know, talking amongst other MMA fanatics and different media outlets down here in South Florida, a lot of people have agreed that it would be cool to see you possibly have some type of, alliance with the Black Zillions, just because a lot of people want to see you keep growing, and the stuff that you've been doing awesome as a fighter, and that camp is got a lot of great training partners.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm very open-minded, brother. All I want to do is grow, you know. There's a lot of people out there that say, oh, man, Baboon's 32 years old. He's getting old. Okay, but hey, like Randy Couture said, man, you're only going to be as old as how you feel, man. I feel great. I'm in the peak of my career. I'm peaking right now in my body. I'm feeling great, man, and all I want to do is keep evolving. And right now I'm fighting somebody from Black Zillions, and that states the only reason why I haven't visited that gym. Because, that's one of the top gyms in Florida. I want to visit that one, too. Like I said, man, I won't make any decision on joining any camp yet until this fight's over. And I visited every gym, and I can find out, okay, maybe this camp will work, you know? Maybe no camp will work for me in Florida, man. Maybe I leave Florida and I go somewhere else. I've thought about that, too, you know? So, you know, I want to do my little trip out there, you know, a little cross-country, and check out all the gyms, check out everything that's out there, man, and see what the energy is, man. You know, I'm looking for that good feeling and the good vibe in the gym, you know?
Yeah, and well, you said that you had the opportunity. And you say you had the opportunity to train with an academy today where they train Olympic boxers. Was that the coolest thing you've been able to experience so far in this?
Let me tell you, man, that I hadn't gotten sparring boxing-wise. I had not gotten competition like that in years, bro, years. Today, man, I faced this guy that, you know, this guy came from Atlanta. He's going to fight this Saturday. He's 7-0 pro, not a big old record. He's 7-0, 6 knockouts, undefeated pro box man. Beautiful, banging hands. We went at it. It was beautiful experience. I've been on a sparring spree. I've been sparring for the last 3 days in 3 different gyms with nothing but professional boxers. And man, have I had fun, brother? Have I had fun? And I'm enjoying this, man. I'm enjoying this tour, man. It's like a tour. I'm going through gyms.
It's like the Beatles for Baboon, just training at different gyms.
Yeah, man, I'm enjoying them. I'm really enjoying them, man.
But you know what, Baboon, just like you, there are also other fighters that have tried out different camps because, you know, they didn't have a sparring partner or they didn't have their weight class. And I think it was Yuri Villafort. I interviewed him a while ago before they started the whole Black Zillion thing. And they said that he got together with Rashad and everything. And he said that at one point it's going to, MMA could possibly be like that. Like, it's not just going to be one specific training camp. You'll have fighters training at this camp or at that camp, you know, depending on their fighter that they're going to face. If the guy's a good wrestler, they'll go to that guy. And
that's
it's something
true,
that could evolve. You know, just like boxing, for example, you know, with Pacquiao, he brings his entire crew, but he hires his own people. He doesn't go to a specific camp. So it's pretty interesting to say that.
It's called being professional, man. It's called being professional and looking to be the best in the world. So to be the best in the world, you can't fight. You can't follow the same exact concept everybody's following. You got to make the next step. You got to make the next move. You know, and it's not every camp that you go to that you're going to find five different 155ers that can spar with you. You know, like in my ex-gym, what did I have? Who did I have at 155 to push me to the next level? All I had was
right.
Rick Lamas when he would come down from, like right now he's here now, when he comes down from Chicago to get ready for his UFC fights. You know, rather than that, I'm not saying that there's no good sparring. There's great sparring, but the thing is, I'm sparring people like Pepe Monster. Pepe Monster fights 170, walks around 200 pounds, man. I'm sparring Frank. Frank fights, used to fight 170, did a fight at 155, walks around 200 pounds. You know, so, you know,
right.
it's not the same thing to spar people that are walking around 200 pounds, 185, 190, than sparring somebody that is, one, you know, fights at 155, walking around 175, maybe 180 at the most. You know, it's not the same thing, you know. So, you know, it's not every gym that you go to that has everything that you need. You're going to have to make a move to make everything click, to make everything that you need happen, you know.
All right, well, Babu, let's talk about January 19th. You're fighting Lucas Scott for Firmino out of the Black Zillions. But my question is, are we finally going to get a CFA title around your waist? Because last time you fought James Warfield, unfortunately, didn't make weight class. But will this fight be for the title, the lightweight?
This fight is for the title, and I'm hoping to God that he makes weight. I mean, he's a professional, man. I haven't seen him have any problems making weight, so I'm sure there's going to be no problems. This fight's a title fight. It's going to happen, that's for sure.
And in this fight, Baboon, we've seen Firmino. He just recently fought Toby Amato, who's great on the ground. But I must say, man, in that Jay-Z fight, I have never seen you fight like that. And Camilo could possibly agree with me. You know, you say you're 32, and you were saying that some people tell you that you're old, but dude, you were moving like a cat. I've never seen you move that way. Like, seriously.
That's exactly what I say, man.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I've never seen
you.
I had never seen you fight that way, man, seriously. But you're fighting a different file, different challenge now. This guy's more of a ground game type of guy.
This is your typical striker grappler fight, man.
So how are we preparing with this going around to all these camps, and how are you preparing mentally for this fight?
Well, mentally, the challenge started early, man. I'm 6 weeks out. My conditioning is going great. The sparring is amazing because, like I said, you know, it's people that I'm not used to sparring with, people that don't know me, people that I don't know. So it's not a normal sparring session. It's a fight. It's a fight. You know, even when the guys are trying to be nice, it's a fight, bro. You know, everybody's trying to prove their point. Everybody's trying to show who they are. So even if they're not doing it in a bad manner or in a bad way, it's a fight. It's competition. Heart rate's all the way up, you know. So the sparring is just going great, man. I can't have no complaints. And everybody that I'm going to, I'm being welcomed into this gym, man. I'm very thankful for that. I mean, you know, there's no injuries. I'm feeling great, man. I think this is going to be a great camp. You know, a good tour.
And at Palomino, there's always talks. You know, are we going to see you in the UFC? Are we going to see you? Well, we don't know if Strikeforce is going to exist anymore. But what is next after Baboon? If you win this title, will you keep the title in CFA? Will you look elsewhere? What's the future of Palomino?
Well, right now, I'm riding a 4-fight win streak. You know, and this fight coming up, I'm taking that belt. It's going to be not only my fifth belt, but it's going to be my fifth fight win streak. And from there, man, it's in God's hands, brother. I can't tell you my future. I know that my time for UFC is long overdue, man. I mean, people tell me all the time, why are you not a UFC? You're fighting UFC-level guys, you know, and it's true. Most of the guys that I've fought in my last couple fights are UFC-level fighters, you know, Strikeforce-level fighters. They're Class A, Class B fighters, man, and I'm facing the competition that's out there, you know? So I think it's just in God's hand, brother. I win this fight, I keep cool, and whatever God says, that's what happens, man.
Great, Camilo.
Well, Luis, I think what you're doing with this Academy tour is an excellent idea. I think, you know, like Rodolfo said, you look really good on your last fight, and this is something that's definitely needed for you, like to, I guess, push it to the next level. And you're a professional. You always make weight. So are you trying to, I guess, test out different diet techniques as well, since you're trying the different tours of the academies? Are you trying different techniques as far as your dieting goes and all that side of training?
No, as far as dieting, Camilo, as far as dieting, man, 155 has never been a problem for me. It was 145 that gave me problems, and I don't like fighting there because it gets so weak. I don't like it. I have to do serious dieting for that. But 155, all I do is eat clean. Just eat clean, you know, stay focused on what I'm eating, don't eat no crap, and I make weight easily, man. Just training the way that I train, you know, I cut like 7 pounds of water the day before the weigh-ins, and I'm done with weight, man. I don't, you know, my body fat goes down. I get my body fat low as 5-7%, and after that, it's just water, and all I have left is like 7 pounds of water. So the weight cut is no problem for me. I don't have to do no specific diets. I just eat, you know, performance food. Instead of eating normal, I just eat performance food, eat clean, and I'm good. No specific diets.
And I know that you're going to be going around different camps, but have you considered doing other things, like maybe like gymnastics or even yoga, to try to implement, you know, something different into your training?
Yoga is definitely a part already. I am doing yoga. So I'm hitting up yoga twice a week. And as far as gymnastics, it's something that I've loved since I was very young. And the conditioning camp where I am, the CrossFit gym on 125th in Biscayne, this place, man, is incredible. They have all these different gymnastic type of workouts. And so my conditioning, you know, is being done by John Kelly right now, and he's helping me out with this stuff, and he's including a lot of gymnastic workouts. So, yeah, you know, it's different. Everything's different. It's called Athlete Ego CrossFit. I'm doing great over there, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I can't wait to see you again in action, man. You've been winning belts, awards at the Florida MMA Awards. I mean, everything that you've been doing is great, and I can't wait to see you again in action, man.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, Baboon, and don't talk about the yoga thing, because I do it myself, man. It's awesome. I know a lot of guys think it's a little girly, but let me tell you, when you do yoga, you're a different man. No, seriously, you feel so great. Your body feels so awesome.
It is good. Yeah, it keeps you loose, man.
It does. Yeah. It takes away the aches and the pain in your back, and you feel like a stud. Palomino, man, thanks so very much for calling in, and we look forward to seeing you in action January 19th. Against Luis Buscapa Firmino for the lightweight title in Championship Fighting Alliance, CFA 09. I understand the tickets will be on sale this week, from what I understand. And you can check CFAFights.com for that. Palomino, thanks very much, man.
You can contact me at Luis Palomino on Facebook. I got tickets, too.
There you go. Anything else you want to add, Palomino?
I just want to thank Camilo one more time, El Octagano, and the Roman Show for having me, man. Thank you, brother.
No worries, man. God bless, man.
God bless, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right, Camilo, there you go. Great interview there with Luis Baboon Palomino. We got the details as far as his training camp tour. Like, you know, I remember last year, the Heat, or the year before, when they got Bosh, Wade, LeBron for the first year, and they were calling themselves the Heatles. So that's like Baboon, what he's trying to do right now, you know, taking himself to tour, trying out some new sparring partners and so forth, which, you know, it really makes you diverse. And I'm telling you, I remember interviewing Yuri Villafort, and he told me that. And he said, it's going to be a time that no longer will you be claiming your camp group. It's going to be, I'll go here for this training camp and here for that, because you really get a diversity as far as training.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm also a believer of, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But a fighter gets to a certain point, you know, I mean, we're seeing it in the new up-and-coming fighters. I mean, it's a new breed of MMA fighters that are coming up. So in order to be on top of everything, on top of the division that you're competing at, you have to start, you know, being open to different training techniques or different training partners or going to certain places. I mean, look at Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy's going up to train at TriStar. Jonathan Brookins is up in TriStar as well. I mean, he's not the first one, and he's not definitely going to be the last one. But, you know, a lot of respect to Palomino. I'm very glad for all the things that he's doing. And it's, I guess in a way it's a little special because we've seen him come up, you know, down here in South Florida. So all the success that he's getting, he deserves it.
He does. Well, Camila, before we bring in Keisha, the tiny Tornado Torres, in just a few seconds, I want to read this breaking news. So remember we spoke about earlier on about this rumor about Cyborg and Ronda Rousey going at it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out, Camilo, that according to MMA Junkie, Christine Cyborg Santos shoots down a non-UFC 157 fight with Ronda Rousey. So she shut the idea of fighting Rousey at 157 down. It's not going to happen, just according to MMAJunkie.com. So as far as we're concerned, it's not going to happen. But there's other breaking news, Camilo. And
what's that?
You know, a day doesn't go by that you go on and you see news about Strikeforce and that one event. It just seems that last event just can't get accomplished. Well, it turns out that Gilbert Melendez, his camp is considering move to featherweight and is currently negotiating with the UFC. So that means that depending on the outcome of Benson Henderson and Nate Diaz for the lightweight title, for the featherweight title, this could decide on the future on Gilbert Melendez if he will stay on that card or not. This is what Melendez trainer Cesar Gracie told MMAJunkie.com that they're currently negotiating with the UFC. Of course, UFC and Strikeforce are both owned by Zuffa, but they're really talking, taking into consideration taking Melendez possibly out of that Strikeforce card and moving him over to the UFC soon.
So, yeah, well, I mean, you know,
that thing is cursed.
Yeah. I mean, Gilbert Melendez, you know, he's out due to an injury. So now we got Pat Healy versus Jorge Masvidal for the last Strikeforce card. So the fact that Gilbert Melendez is considered moving down to featherweight, I don't know. Maybe something happened. Maybe this is just me thinking out loud, but maybe, you know, he's already had to cancel the fight against Pat Healy twice. Due to injury. So maybe this is something like a strategy to move down and maybe to avoid more injuries down the road. And, Gilbert Melendez in the UFC, I mean, we're talking about Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar right now, you know, who are going to be fighting for the belt. And if Jose Aldo beats Frankie Edgar easily, he said he's moving up to lightweight.
Yeah. So, we might see Melendez in the 145. Challenging Henderson. Interesting note. So we'll see what happens with the future of the Gilbert Melendez and Strikeforce. And, you know, they're really the end of this Strikeforce come this January show. We don't know yet. Everyone's already spreading the rumors, but that's what they say. But it's still, I still think that card is just cursed because every time that they put a name in there, the guy gets hurt. It never happens. It already has been canceled, but they're really pushing forward to it. Well, with that being said, Camilo, let's move forward. Tisha Torres is on the line right now, the Tiny Tornado. Tisha, welcome to the Roman Show again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for having me on again.
No, thank you for being patient and waiting on the line for us. Tisha, 1-0 last time we had you. Actually, the first time we had you, you were just an amateur fighter. But look at you now. You're a professional. You gained your first victory at Invicta FC, the past show, in a great fashion, I must say. And you're just causing mayhem already in the professional level at such a young age.
Yeah, it was really surreal going on the Invicta, card with such high-level athletes. You know, people I've been following for the past 4 years. So that in itself was a present to me, and getting the W was awesome. So I'm just looking forward to the next one, and it was a great, match. Tiana was a tough opponent, and I don't know, I'm just looking forward to bigger and better things and looking forward to this fight with Paige.
That's right, guys. And Tisha will be fighting January 5th at Memorial Hall, Kansas City. So if you're listening in Kansas, make sure you get your tickets. You can visit InvictaFC.com. And for the folks listening outside of Kansas, you can watch it on the internet there on InvictaFC.com, which the fight will be streamed live in its entirety. Now, Tisha, I ran into this this article they had posted, and I honestly, seriously, are these guys thinking that way? They had dubbed your last fight the sexiest fight of 2013, the one coming up. Does this in any way bother you? In other words, they're forgetting about the fighter and they're focusing more on the looks.
I think honestly, to myself, I'm an average-looking person. I'm an MMA fighter, so people might quote unquote say I'm pretty or something. But it's more of my opponent. She's a model, whatnot. But nonetheless, it's a fight. Our looks aren't going to get us anywhere in the ring. Our talent, skills, what's going to get us a W or not. I think it's cool. I mean, if it's bringing in more people to watch the sport just because of looks or something, in the end of the fight, they'll be, watching me for my talent, not just for my looks, or, they'll notice me because, I'm smart or something. I don't know. I think it's just going to bring in more people, maybe, that they're looking at the looks first, but in the end, I just think they'll become a fan of women's MMA in general.
That's great. And Tisha Torres fighting out of American Top Team. Camilo, you have a question for Tisha?
Yes, Tisha, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. And, congrats on your victory on your debut on Invicta FC 3 against Canyon Rain. Were you nervous or excited, the day of the fight?
I'm both, usually. I'm always nervous to step in the ring no matter what. It doesn't matter who's in front of me because, I'm going in there and someone's going to, try to take off my head or whatnot. But I was really excited because it was a big show, a new platform, to showcase my skills. And I knew that, Invicta, they stream it live. So we get, I think it's over maybe like 500,000 now viewers online. And then, we're in front of like a crowd of 4,000. So it's just, it's really surreal. And it just amps me up, knowing that my people are looking at me. And it just makes me want to perform, and do a good job.
Yeah. And your next fight is against another fighter who's only got one more fight than you in her professional record. So experience isn't going to really be too much of a factor. What do you know of your opponent or what do you consider are your advantages over her?
All around, I honestly think that I'm a more technical fighter. I do have more experience than her, although she is a 2-0, as a professional. I have a lot of amateur fights and amateur experience. I think, my skills will show itself on January 5th. I believe, my stand-up is going to be, a level above hers. And if she does, or if she's able to take me down, or if I want to take her down, I think I'll be able to dominate on the ground as well. I think she's going to be a tough opponent, but I just don't think that that she's going to be able to come out with a win.
Yeah. And I wanted to comment on the fact that, sex appeal is now becoming a factor in female fighting. And I think this is something very positive because if we look at the fight that went down between Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey, that brought a lot of attention to the sport and to the female fights. So hopefully when you fight, it'll bring a lot of attention and a lot of new sponsors for you.
Yeah, I honestly like the fact that we're getting noticed. I mean, it does suck. It's because of the way we may look. But like I said before, our looks aren't going to get us anywhere in the ring. If she's better than me or I'm better than her, it doesn't matter who's the prettiest. But it will bring in new fans and new types of fans that thought that previously MMA was maybe a barbaric sport or things that quote unquote only butch girls do or something. So. Being a pretty face, there's more to it.
Now, Tisha, we had a couple of fighters that are fighting in the Invicta FC, and we asked them this question because we're getting close to the holidays. It's just you're already not celebrating it already, but is it difficult for you to get ready for this fight because you got Christmas or whatever religion are you? Is it difficult for you with all the great food out there that everyone enjoys during this time of year?
No, because my normal diet is like fast food and cake and ice cream, so I'm usually about 8 to 10 pounds up, so like 123 to 125, that's where I sit around, so the cut is pretty much easy. I just change my food the last week, and then I'll cut like 5 pounds of water. So it's really easy to make 15 for me. But recently, I posted my Facebook December 1st. I'm trying to do a new healthier, you know, lifestyle. So I'm on day 5. Normally, I only get to day 2. So I'm really excited about this. I've been cooking every day, and I haven't gotten, you know, any ice cream or fast food in the last 5 days. So I'm really excited about that. And I've already lost 4 pounds. So it's going to be just so much easier to make 115. It's already easy, but it's going to be so much easier. And I feel better when I go to train those last few days. So I'm just going to see if I can stick it out the whole month.
So teacher, you're telling me that until recently you were eating junk food and ice cream?
Yeah, every day. I have a fast metabolism. I'm still 23. I can still get away with it. So I definitely took full advantage of it. I mean, it feels good going down, you know, eating my Oreo ice cream. But afterwards, I will admit I do have stomach aches, and sometimes when I go to train, my stomach will hurt. So that's why, you know, I've tried to get past the 2-day limit, and I've gotten to day 5 now. So I'm going to try to go as long as I can. I mean, I'm not, like, eating vegetables and all that crap, because I don't like vegetables, but I'm just cooking, you know. I'm cooking eggs, cooking chicken, eating, you know, like, what am I eating right now for my snack? You know, almonds, but the, like, dark roasted almonds. I really like those ones. That's, like, craving my chocolate habit right now.
Well, let me just say, Tisha, that right now the ladies listening right now are definitely jealous about you because, you know girls nowadays that they eat an ice cream, it's the end of the world. But here you're telling me that you're a fighter and you're eating junk food and you're cool with it and you're kicking some butt in the cage.
Yeah, and I'm keeping my six pack too. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's just genetics. It has to be genetics.
Yeah, it definitely is genetics as well. But I know it'll catch up with me. And another reason why I want to change my eating habits too is because diabetes does run in my family. So I don't want to be one of those, you know, people who on the outside I might look so fit, but on the inside, you know, I'm killing myself with all this sugar food that I eat.
Totally true. Could be deceiving. Camilo?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, what Roman was just saying, that a lot of women that are listening right now are very jealous of you, especially the fact that you still have your six packs and can eat anything. But, you know, you got a young female fighter who's very attractive, can fight, loves junk food. I guess the only question I need to ask is, are you into video games?
Video games? No. I really like TV and the internet, but no video games. I'm really a homebody. You know, I'm on Facebook a lot. I like to interact with the fans. I'm on Facebook a little bit too much. Sometimes I get in trouble at work, but that's okay. I just like, you know, being chill at home. I don't party. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm pretty laid back. I mean, most people probably, if you become my friend, you'd think I was maybe different because, you know, I do all this fight stuff and I'm really outgoing, but at the end of the day, I like being at home, sitting on my bed, watching a movie, you know, just relaxing.
Well, I guess you just answered the next question I was going to ask you, which was how you're going to celebrate New Year's, but I'm guessing now you're going to be at home watching a movie, eating some roasted almonds.
Yeah, probably, because I think we leave the 2nd of January to Invicta, so I'll be all excited, probably can't sleep, you know, ready to get on the plane the next morning.
Great stuff at a t-shirt. Tisha, before your fight, before you step into the cage, is there anyone you send a text message to or speak to kind of motivate you or say, hey, thanks, or someone that you look forward to speaking to for motivation?
I normally call my mom prior to my fights. You know, my mom's like probably my biggest fan. She's the one who got me into, you know, the whole martial arts sport when I was 5. So she's one who I get like all my inspiration, you know, from. Things weren't always the best growing up, but I always had my mom there, and she every day till this day, she always tells me how beautiful and how much she loves me, so I take that into every, you know, fight I go. I fight for myself first, but my mom definitely second, because she's somebody who's always been there for me, and I look forward to being able to, you know, give back to my mom one day. I'm not saying that MMA, I'm going to make $1 million from it, but whatever I do make from it, if I can help my mom, I will do that, you know.
Awesome. Well, Tisha, thank you so very much for calling in, and you can check out Tisha live on Invicta FC number 4. It's going to be taking place January 5th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at the Memorial Hall in Kansas City, and you can watch it live from anywhere in the world at InvictaFC.com. Anything else you'd like to add, Tisha, before we let you go?
Yes, a couple thank yous, as always. I just want to thank a quick thank you to the, sorry, a quick thank you to those who sponsored me for my pro debut. So Babes of MMA, Awakening Female Fighters, and Slut Fightwear, thank you guys for believing me. And then to my teammates, AGT, those who helped me out, and India, a special thank you to her. She helps me out a lot. She'll be fighting on Invicta as well. And we look forward to going 2-0 that night again. And to Jessica I, she's fighting, you know, Friday night versus Zoila at Bellator. And I went up recently and trained with her camp at Strong Style. I thank them for, you know, bringing me into their home and giving me a new aspect to my training. So thank you, Jessica I. Good luck in your fight. And I just look forward to my next fight. And thank you, guys, with the Roman Show.
Thank you, Keisha, and good luck. All right, and we hope to speak to you soon again to talk about that W.
Okay, we will talk about that 2-0 W. You have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, there you go, Camila. Man, you know how many girls are right now grabbing their healthy whole grain bar and just throwing it against the television set right now, Camila?
Girls, I mean, dude, I'm upset. I wish I could eat whatever I want and have a six-pack and be good-looking and know how to fight. I got none of that.
Man, that is awesome. You get to eat junk food and you have a six-pack. Shoot, who wouldn't want to be like that? That is just awesome. That is awesome.
And you heard her say... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. And you heard her say that she went and trained at another camp and learned some new stuff. So Luis Palomino's not the only one. You know, it's a lot of different fighters who do this. It's getting new.
Trend.
Yeah, it's new equipment for your arsenal.
Yeah, it is, and it makes perfectly good sense. You know, it's always good to try. And look, that's what they call it, mixed martial arts. And one camp. It's kind of hard to say that one camp has every single has strength in all particular martial arts. It's difficult because you're always going to have one guy that's better at the other. It's just life. So for these guys to go out there and try different camps definitely gives them that diversity when they go and step into the cage, because every fighter is different and every camp is different. They focus on different things. So it's a new trend, Camilo, and we're talking about it here in the Roman Show. Camilo, let's go to a quick break before we bring in our next individual coming up to the show, Leslie Smith. She was a fighter in Invicta FC4, and followed by Nate Diaz, who fights this Saturday on UFC on Fox against Benson Henderson, which should be a great fight. And after that, we're going to welcome Amanda Bell, who also fights on Invicta FC4. And to top off the show, we're going to have Mike Chiesa, and also we have Outside the Cage, and we have the West Side Report. So we have a whole list of things here on The Roman Show. So stay tuned after this small commercial break. We'll be right back.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join The Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you Happen to like the current show? Check out the Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com.
Check it out. Keep listening to the Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching the Roman Show.
Maybach music.
Regardless of how it goes down, life goes on. Am I right?
A little Ricky Ross. A Rosé, a little Maybach music. You like some Maybach music, Camilo?
Yeah. They got a good little organization going on, Rick Ross, and you know they always collaborate with Drake, who's you know an awesome performer as well.
Let me say, I get hyped up to Rick Ross, man. Personally, man, I'm in personal love. He's a great, cool dude, and let's just say he's always on another planet when you talk to him. But he's a cool dude, and the reason I pay is because right now they're actually live as we speak in Miami Beach, and I'm kind of punching myself because I couldn't go. But regardless of it, man, big fan of Rick Ross, Maybach music, so keep it going out there. But from Miami music, we're going to go and speak about the West Coast with my main man, Jonathan King of the Clinch Report, all the way in the West Side. Here's Jonathan King, the West Side Report. What's up, Jonathan?
What's going on, guys? What's going on? How are you, Camilo? How's it going?
All right, man. Can't complain, man. What you got for us this week in the West Side?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff coming up. December and January, very busy months for the King of the Cage. Terry Treblecock has a great promotion there, a lot of great fighters. A person that you and I interviewed a couple weeks ago just signed with Bellator, and he's with King of the Cage, and he is fighting on the 19th. Mr. Eric Tindall will be fighting Cody East in Scottsdale, Arizona on the 19th of January. But coming up on the December 20th show, San Manuel Casino, Highland, California. We have three title fights on the card. Trevor Prangley against Tony Lopez, Sam Liera against David Gomez, and Marvin Garcia versus Justin Robbins. Also, we have a great fight, the tattooed terror Johnny Cisneros, one of my favorite young fighters in California, is going up against a Muay Thai kicking machine by the name of Josh Aviles. It's going to be a great fight. And I also have some breaking news for you. I don't know. You guys interested in breaking news?
Of course.
I am proud to announce that former UFC fighter Mike the Joker Guyman has been signed to Bellator and will be fighting for Bellator in January on the OC card that has not been announced yet. Yeah, so Mike Guyman, congratulations to him. He's coming back.
There you go. Breaking news here. We've had a couple of breaking news here, Jonathan, and contributed to the Roman Show. Jonathan, I understand, and Camilo, if it comes to, I'm going to have to coin here Jonathan King like the Nostradamus of MMA, because if I am correct, I've seen some of your polls, you're about 70-something percent accurate as far as your picks.
This year I am at 78%, and actually my roommate and I are going to do a little bit of research and see. We're going to go back through all of my posts and see if you bet $100 with every one of my picks, like what you would be at now. One loss, I'm about 76 to 78%. And that's not just UFC, that's Bellator, that's King of the Cage, that's all the events that I cover. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I guess I'm pretty good at picking winners and losers. And this fight coming up, this is going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to
it. Let's do this. If you're about 78% here accurate as far as picking the winners, the main card, let's start off first. Let's just have the four fights that's going to be in Fox. I want to hear your pick, starting off with the Matt Brown and Mike Swick.
Matt Brown, Mike Swick. Okay. This is one of the toughest ones for me to call. But I'm going with Mike Swick on this, and I'm going to go with the second round TKO. Mike Swick, as you guys know, had a rough injury. He had that throat problem with his esophagus, and he hadn't fought in like 2 years. When he came back and fought in Los Angeles, I was at the fight when he fought the Marcus Johnson. And the first round, he looked horrible. He went back to the corner, dejected with himself. Second round, he came out and TKO'd him. After the fight, he said that it just took him a little time to get some ring rust off. But, yeah, I think Mike Swick is one of the top guys in that division. And as much as I like Matt Brown, I just think it's going to be Mike Swick's night.
So let's go with Rory McDonald and DJ Penn. Who takes it?
Rory McDonald is going to win this fight by unanimous decision. That's the way I feel anyway. I'm not saying anything bad about BJ Penn. The guy's a legend. The guy's amazing. But Rory McDonald has got all the skill in the world, and he's a young, athletic kid. And that's the one thing that you can't change in MMA is age and athleticism. And BJ's going to have a little bit of ring rust. I have a feeling Rory's going to frustrate him all night long. But it should be a fun fight to watch.
About Alexander Gustafsson versus Mauricio Shogun Rua.
Everybody's going to kill me on this one. I'm going with Alexander Gustafsson. Unanimous decision. I don't think Mauricio Rua is going to be able to put him on his back. I think Gustafsson's been working really hard on that. However, if he does get him on his back, Rua wins the fight. I just think Alexander's got too much range, and he's too talented a striker. Another age versus age is catching up to Rua. He's coming off of three complete wars that he fought. Dan Henderson was a war. The fight before that was a war. And I just as much as I love Shogun, it's Alex Gustafsson's time, and I think he's gonna prove it to the world.
And lastly, the main event: Henderson versus Nate Diaz. Who takes the title or keeps it?
Winner of this fight is going to be decided in the second round. It's going to be decided by submission. And the winner is going to be Nathan Diaz. The 209 will have their first lightweight champion ever.
Wow. There you go. There you go. I'm sure all the bookies in Vegas just listen to you, man, and they're going to go in and take your picks and try to bet on them. You heard it. Jonathan King, 78% accurate so far this year in picking the winners in mixed martial arts. Let's put them to the test. Let's see if it's true. Jonathan, Ben, thanks so very much for calling in on the West Side Report.
Hey, you guys take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, there you go, Camilo. As soon as the fight is over, we're over with, I'm going to look at the notes and see if Jonathan is right. 78%, that's a high number.
Yeah, that's a really good percentage, man. I agree with all his picks except the Rua and Gustafsson fight. I'm going to go with Rua. Even the Gustafsson is really good. He he's saying that if he goes through Rua, he deserves a shot at the champ John Jones, which is true, and a lot of people agree with that. But I don't know, man. You know, Rua, this guy, he's just from another planet, and he's, you know, like Jonathan said, he's been coming off these wars. But when people think that he's gonna lose, he surprises always, and I'm gonna go with Rua.
Hmm. And you're really going with Nate on the victory, huh?
Oh no, I'm sorry. That was the other one. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with Henderson.
I'm gonna go with Henderson too.
I feel that Ben Henderson is gonna be able to take this fight to the ground, and just do what he does best, which is utilize his wrestling and ground and pound, and to submit Ben Henderson is gonna be close to impossible. Now if Nate is able to maintain the fight standing up, I think he might actually have the advantage with the striking. Nate is an amazing striker.
He is.
But I'm going to go with Ben Henderson on that one.
I'm going to go with Henderson too. He's a flashy guy. He's quick. And I think, I personally think that Henderson is going to frustrate Nate, because Nate just wants to stand up with him. And knowing the way that Henderson moves, he's fast, he's quick, he's going to probably attempt some of the wrestling moves. I think he's going to frustrate him. I really do think he's going to frustrate him, and Henderson's going to take this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. The fight I wanted to see was LeVar Johnson against Brandon Shaw, but unfortunately, LeVar got injured, and that fight got canceled. That was going to be a really good one.
That's right. I'm waiting the phone call of Leslie Smith here on the show, but I guess she's a little late. But with that said, as we're talking about the UFC on Fox show, let's hear from Nate Diaz, who fights this Saturday, coming up on Fox. And it's, you know, it's a great night this Saturday because right after the UFC, you can check out Manny Pacquiao's fight as well. So I don't know about you, man, but I'm in heaven because I'm going to be having fights all night long, all evening long for the Facebook page, the Facebook fight that starts at 4:30. And I had told you about this earlier today that they got poor Scott Jurgensen, man. He is the opening fight. He's going to be on 4:30 p.m. against John Albert. He's a preliminary fight. Scott Jurgensen, a guy who at one point got a title shot in the WEC. He was a very good fighter. He's in the prelim. He's like the first fight on the show.
Yeah, and the fight right after that to start the FX card. And Dennis Siver, which is going to be a good fight too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Scott Jurgensen all the way down there, you know, opening, you know, fighting on the Facebook. It's a little surprising, but that just goes to show you, like, the UFC, they have so much talent that Scott Jurgensen on Facebook doesn't affect them at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. Hey, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with an Nate Diaz interview.
This is Mike Chiesa, Ultimate Fighter Live Champion. You listen to The Roman Show.
What's up? This is Nate Diaz. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
All right, we're back after this commercial break here on The Roman Show and on the line. We have Nate Diaz who will be fighting Benson Henderson this Saturday at UFC on Fox number 5 for the lightweight title. Nate, how you feeling, man? Thanks for taking some time and speaking to us here on The Roman Show.
I'm feeling good. How are you doing?
Absolutely great, Nate. Nate, your first title shot in the UFC. You fought obviously in the UFC several times, but are you feeling any butterflies since you're getting your first title shot in the UFC?
It's just like pretty much like every other fight. Sitting here fight week and getting ready to go.
And Nate, knowing that Benson Henderson is a very flashy, kind of really don't expect what he's going to hit you with. How are you preparing for this? And the fact that Your boxing is just phenomenal in your stand-up game. What you can't let us know as far as the entire game plan, but how are you preparing for Henderson?
I'm just trying to be ready for whatever he's got to offer. I do a lot of wrestling, a lot of kickboxing, and a lot of jiu-jitsu. Just trying to put it all together again by night.
Now, Nate, considering that Benson Henderson just fought Frankie Edgar twice in a row for the lightweight title, and he last fought in August, and you fought, well, a couple of months prior to that, were you sitting there and studying him in the August fight, trying to already take down some notes?
Yeah, I've always watched him fight. I watch everybody in the lightweight division fight. So, I mean, I try to watch everybody as much as possible, and, yeah. So I've been watching when he does his offense and his defense, so it's tough. It's going to be tough.
I read, Nate, in some of these interviews that come this Saturday on UFC on Fox at 5, the show starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time, Henderson versus Diaz. Not only you'll be facing Henderson, but you say you'll be fighting judges. Why do you say this, Nate?
Just have you seen the fights lately? Any fight, if you go to the decision, you're going to get robbed most likely. I see a lot of guys win fights that they don't lose. I mean, I've seen them win fights that they don't necessarily win, and I see people lose fights that they didn't necessarily lose. So anytime I go to judges, you know, I mean, it means that I'm going to go lose no matter what in the decision. I just say you can't count on winning in a judge's decision, especially not me.
And now, Nate, considering that Henderson, as I said, the southpaw, just like yourself, so both of you are comfortable with this. Tell me some of the training that you've been. You said you've been doing some of the Muay Thai and the boxing, but anything in particular that you've done differently with Henderson? Because you know, one thing that reminds me of Henderson and Cerrone, that those guys had an epic match. I think it was awarded for one of the top fights for that year, and it escapes my mind. but some of the stuff that this guy can do, what difference have you done in this training camp, or as you said, you know, it's just another fight?
I've pretty much the same type of things. Just train hard and try to prepare everywhere, trying to be as ready as I can be. And we're gonna have to see fight night.
And Nate, Fox, you know, UFC and Fox number 5. Obviously, UFC signed this deal with Fox. It's gonna be nationally televised. Tell me about being on this national TV. This card itself is stacked. It's tough. I mean, it belongs to pay-per-view, in my opinion. But here we are. The fans are going to be having an early Christmas gift with UFC and Fox. So tell me about fighting on this top national network.
Oh, my last fight was on there, too. So I guess it's good. I guess there's a lot of exposure. A lot of people watch. So it should be a good thing.
Nate, if you could tell us as far as why should people root for you come this Saturday, and what are you going to give the fans? Are you going for Gutso? You're going for the knockout or the submission?
I'm training hard to fight and accomplish my mission at hand, and that's winning the fight. So we're going to have to see what happens Friday.
Awesome. Nate, anything you'd like to add?
No, that's it. Thank you very much for watching and calling in.
This is something like the Holocaust. Millions of our people lost. Till I die, I'm a fucking ball. Now who gon' stop me? Who gon' stop me, huh? Who gon' stop me? Who gon' stop me, huh? Black card, black card, black on black, black
on black. Little Jay-Z, a little Rick Ross, Camilo, on the show. A little festive here, are we? A little hip-hop-ish, huh?
Yeah, I'm a fan of the hip-hop. But you know what, I love oldies, you know, whether it's like the Beatles or just classic rock. I love old music, I don't know why. Oldies.
I assume we're going to start playing Tony Bennett just for you, man. Tony Bennett, a little Frank Sinatra. Hopefully we don't have our fans falling asleep, but music, man. But absolutely great stuff there for Nate B. Nate B is always a special interview. He's a man of short words, just like Nick. Nick is also another person who's very short on words. He's just straight to the point. And you heard him. He has been training hard and is ready and set to go against Benson Henderson this Saturday night on UFC on Fox, which is going to be a great fight. And, you know, Camilo, looking at this card, this is definitely a pay-per-view type of card, man. You know, I think this could really make up for that one show that was just horrible this year.
Yeah, it was at, I think it was in Canada, the UFC one.
Yeah,
that one. It was like 152 or something.
No one remembers it. No one remembers it.
Yeah. It's like what Dana White says, the unicorn of the UFC. It's, you know, you don't always see a bad comp, but every once in a while, in a blue moon, the unicorn will come out. And, we've had some good fights, and the UFC on Fox is definitely going to be, it's a hell of a fight card. And talking about Dana White, did you see him as a homeless guy in a skit?
I saw an image about that. Now, this is for a Fox show, I think it was?
Yeah, it was a skit that was done. It was a comedy skit. He came out. He said, like, one line. It lasted about, like, 2 seconds. And it was during the transmission of NFL on Fox. And, it was funny. You know, a lot of people started reacting. Oh, how can you offend homeless people like that? And you know Dana White. He replied. He said, go get an effing, you know, bleep, 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 you know, sense of humor for crying out loud. You know, it was a comedy thing.
Well, that's good stuff. And that's a good way to promote the show, especially now during the NFL season, to get the word about MMA. As surely enough, it's becoming more of a fixture of Fox's TV programming. Now, did you catch also that The Ultimate Fighter is not going to be on Tuesdays, no longer going to be on Fridays?
Yeah, it's going to be on Tuesdays now, and they announced already when it's going to start, right? It was like January something? Jones versus Sonnen fight?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
and did you catch there was a picture? There was a picture that the both were doing Thanksgiving dinner, Jones and Chael Sonnen.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people got mad about that picture on the internet and on social media networks, and it wasn't just fans, but also other media outlets were saying, this is just proof how these guys are laughing to the bank. Sonnen doesn't deserve this title shot, but, money talks and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people were saying these guys are really buddies. They just, agreed to do this business venture and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I mean, it was Thanksgiving, It was to promote that they're already taping the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. I don't think that they're buddies, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Now, UFC President Dana White, speaking about the UFC, has confirmed already that Renan Barao will be fighting Michael McDonald for the title, for the interim title. Now that Dominic Cruz has been, he's going to be off because of a second ACL surgery. So this man could possibly be out for 2 years once he recuperates. So
yeah,
Barao would have to defend his title, the interim title, and then hopefully unite it when Dominic Cruz comes back, which we have no idea when.
Yeah, man, I mean, for sure, he's not going to be back till 2014 unless he is able to recuperate quickly, which, everybody hopes so, and I'm sure Dominic, if it was up to him, he would fight injured or not injured right now. But, it's a sad thing. And the ACL thing, I mean, that's something serious, We saw George St. Pierre speak about it, and he looked and researched for the best medical help, because this could very well be, the end of a fighter's career if it's not treated correctly.
Right. Well, I was watching this, and mind you, Forrest Griffin also has an ACL injury, and he also will be off the UFC 155 pay-per-view. So it's just ironic that both these guys have an ACL injury. But I was watching a video on Randy Couture's training when he used to train to get ready for a fight. He did this very unique type of training, Camilo, and it's, you might think it's like very kiddie, but the guy trained on trampolines.
Yep.
And he said that it wasn't rigorous on his body, and since he understood how his body worked, he definitely avoided injury because of his training exercise he did on the trampoline. And the girl who was the host was asking him, this seems like a lot of fun. He goes, well, it's not. And, man, you see Randy Couture just sweating bullets, jumping around, doing crunches on trampoline. And it's true. He says that it's a total different concept as far as training, because we're used to training, for example, on a hard surface. But when you're running on a trampoline, that's twice or three times the work you would do compared if you were running on a track.
Yeah.
So you have to keep yourself steady and balanced.
Yeah, this was about two and a half years, maybe 2 years ago, 2.5 years. This is when I was training and doing jiu-jitsu and running the line. I was in good shape. I actually went into a place that's called Bounce, and they have these trampolines, the Walser trampolines, and it was around the same time when Randy Couture's thing that video came out. And I'm going to tell you something, Rodolfo. That thing, if you have bad cardio, I mean, not necessarily bad cardio. If your cardio is not up to par, that thing is tough. You think jumping around is tough, man? It is tough. You get tired. You sweat like crazy. And within minutes, you're already sweating and breathing hard. So it is. And it goes to prove how Randy Couture has always, been a pioneer of the sport and a pioneer in trying to, find new methods and how to train.
Yeah. Right. And, Randy Couture kept his shape. In fact, we saw him 2 weeks ago. Guy still looks in amazing shape. Find it, that interview is coming up soon on the Roman Show YouTube channel, rroman0201. You can check out also Melvin Gillard and Cain Velasquez, which you, Camilo, also had the pleasure of interviewing Kane this past weekend. He was here, man, in Florida. Guy's looking great in shape, man. He's ready for some action. But, Camila,
yeah,
before
man.
We move on, and we're waiting the phone call of Leslie Smith. I'm sure she's going to be calling in. It is a little late now. But with that said, we're also anticipating the phone call of Amanda Bell, who will be fighting an Invicta FC. But, Camila, I want to let folks know about the superfood that everyone wants to try, and that's acai. You have to purchase acai. You see all these when UFC goes to Brazil, you see the whole logo of acai. Let me tell you about acai. It's a superfood. It's really delicious, and you got to try the sorbet. It is just absolutely awesome. You can mix it up there with some honey and granola and banana, and trust me, it's a whole lot better than going to get getting one of those frozen yogurts you get, you know, the all-you-can-eat or all-you-can-have
yeah.
yogurt you get for like $3 or a pound. Or not a pound. I think it is a pound. But with that said, you got to try acai. It's delicious, man. And it's totally awesome. Yeah, really, really awesome. It's, in fact, it's a traditional food in Brazil, in the Amazon area. And you can visit Acai Amazing Berry on Facebook. That's Acai Amazing Berry. If you're in South Florida, hit them up. They'll deliver it for you wherever the heck you are. So that's Acai Amazing Berry. They're located at 2484 Northwest 89th Place, Doral. Well, that said, Camilo, we're anticipating again the phone call of Amanda Bell, and also we're going to have Mike Chiesa. It's a pre-recorded interview. Unfortunately, like I said, he got injured, and he will not be competing this Saturday. Follow the action, guys, on the Roman Show Twitter account. That's at RomanDH. We're giving away free stuff. Free T-shirts, sports bottles. Email us at RomanDH@yahoo.com. And say, hey, I want a T-shirt. Just write it there. Just write it. I want a free T-shirt. You want a free T-shirt, Camilo? Or you got plenty?
No, I want some of the acai, man. You know, it's,
I do.
That was my one regret from my experience at the MMA Expo. I didn't get to try some of them. I found out about it too late.
Man, we'll go together into this Doral place and try some of the acai. Because trust me, once you have it, you'll want more. And the good thing about it is that it is healthy. So you don't have to worry about, you know, gaining some weight or feeling bloated or anything like that. Because, look, if Alex Cesar, a UFC fighter, is eating it, he'll be all right. He'll be okay. He'll survive. Well, that said, guys, we're going to go to a small little break, and we'll be right back with more action here on The Roman Show.
For all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Hey, this is Jacob Stitch-Duran here. And if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fights to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You are listening to The Roman Show.
This is your boy Sugar Rashad Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on The Roman Show as we're getting ready for the phone call of Amanda Bell, who will be fighting on Invicta FC January 5th. And you can check that out live on InvictaFC.com. And Invicta FC, they always put on good fights. So you want to make sure that you check that out live and in color. So that being said, in the meantime,
this is Alpha Cage.
Unleash the Beast.
All right, Camilo, what do you got for us this weekend? What can we learn?
Well, you know, UFC 155 is getting closer. We're finally going to be able to see Junior Dos Santos against Cain Velasquez, part two. And like you said, we had the opportunity to talk to Cain Velasquez this weekend. He was here in Miami doing, press, promoting the fight, which is going to be on the 29th of December in Las Vegas. And, going with that theme, two heavyweight guys, I kind of came up with a list of a couple of heavyweights that are fan favorites. A lot of people love to see these guys fight. Do you have a favorite heavyweight fighter, aside from Cain Velasquez, of course?
Yes, he is one of my favorites, but people are going to hate me for it, but yes, I am a fan favorite. I'm a favorite of Brock Lesnar. You can hate me for it.
No. Brock Lesnar, he's a fan favorite. A lot of people love seeing him, whether you like him or not. The guy he brought in the crowds, man. I mean, it was exciting to see him fight. My dad, my father, I got him into MMA, and one of the guys he loves to watch is Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar. He would always ask me, hey, when's the big guy going to fight the guy with the sword? So I would tell him. And another heavyweight that people love to see is Alistair Overeem. He's going to be fighting Antonio Bigfoot Silva real soon in January, I believe, right? UFC 156.
Yes.
And obviously Junior Dos Santos is a fan favorite. He's huge in Brazil. Josh Barnett, this guy, a lot of people like to watch him. And Barnett right now, he's saying the most likely we're gonna see him again inside the UFC. So yeah, yep. That's another guy. Tim Sylvia, he used to be he still is one of the fan favorites. People still like to follow his fights. Fedor Emelianenko, he was huge. A lot of people didn't agree or did agree whether he should go into the UFC or not, and blah blah blah. But regardless, he was a very big fan favorite. Fedor Emelianenko, Randy Couture, he competed for a while in the heavyweights. He was a fan favorite, of course. Let me see, Minotauro Nogueira, that's another guy. And made the list? Yeah, Minotauro. And who also made the list that I was seeing a lot of people compete was Kimbo Slice. Unfortunately, he didn't have any good luck in MMA, but he was a very likable person, man, and a fighter. He had a strong following when he made his UFC debut. There's a couple of other ones that I found. Obviously, people love to see Frank Mir fight. Roy Nelson, this guy, he just defies what a fighter's supposed to look like. And yet, he's one of the best, man. Roy Nelson is an amazing. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to see him fight against Shane Carwin. But, regardless, he's gonna be putting on a good fight. It's against Matt Mitrione. That he's going to be fighting with. And
How about Keith Harry? I know the guy. Yeah, the guy is not as good as. He's not in the caliber, but you got to give it to Keith Harry. He has fought every well-known heavyweight fighter except JDS. But he fought Fedor. He fought Brock. He fought a list of fighters in the heavyweight division. Keith Harry.
And I'm going to mention the last few that I have here, which include Mirko Grokop, which this guy was phenomenal back in the, in the Dream days. Pride days. We got Mark Hunt, Bas Rutten, Don Fry, Andre Arlovsky. This guy, he's always a exciting fighter. We got Tank Abbott. A lot of people love this guy. And Dan Severn. He was always, and still is. somebody that a lot of people, think about. So I guess my question to you is, now how everything has changed in the heavyweights, we're starting to see some really big boys competing in the heavyweights. Do you think that there should come up a super heavyweight class, especially in the UFC where we see the bigger guys?
You know, that's always been a topic, about the super fight. I don't know. You know, I like it very at the 265 limit. I think that we'll be able to see a little more action. But if you were to get a guy like 300 pounds, I mean, I don't think we'll get the same action. We'll probably see a knockout like in 10 seconds. But, and plus, how many super heavyweights exist out there? There's not that many that train.
Yeah.
So is it even worth it? Worth putting a title? How many super heavyweights can you find? Not that many.
And that's true. And, you know, a lot of people have asked Dana White and the UFC, you know, Lorenzo, if that would be ever an option. But, you know, it was the same answer. It's, you know, yeah, there's a couple of big guys. Like Brock Lesnar used to walk around at 265, 270 easily. But it's, you know, there's not that many guys, you know, to do like a cruiserweight either, you know, something that's kind of like in between. But yeah, so unfortunately we're not going to see a super, super, you know, heavyweight division anytime soon, but we are seeing some amazing heavyweight fighters, man. These guys are moving fast. Look at Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez are perfect examples. And, yeah, the heavyweight division is very stacked, man. But anyways, going back to this list, that was some of the most, I guess, followed and favorite fighters fans like to watch compete.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were saying about the super heavyweight. One guy that comes to mind is Hung Meng Chao, but do you really want to see Hung Meng Chao in action?
I don't think he's even fighting anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think he's fighting him, but the guy's a giant, but just, I don't. Maybe they can get the Big Show from WWE to compete, super heavyweight.
Yeah, resurrect the Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. Well, there were talks that there was another pro wrestler, it keeps my mind right now, that he was training for MMA. And I really didn't hear anything. This all happened during the whole Batista thing, but it never happened. He was a big dude, but I don't think that's going to happen. I'll remember the name. Camila, right now I believe we have Leslie Smith on the line. Leslie, is that you? Leslie? Okay, it's not.
Hello?
We're waiting. Hello? Hold on 1 second as we have... Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Leslie?
No, this is Amanda Bell.
Amanda. Okay, all right, Amanda. You were trying to wait on Leslie Yoel to fight tonight's card, but I guess she got a little delay. Well, welcome to the show, Amanda, on the Roman show here. She fights at Invicta FC number 4, and you can check that live January 5th at InvictaFC.com. And if you're in Kansas, you get your tickets. Just visit that site, and that's in Memorial Hall in Kansas City on Saturday. So not too far from now, guys. Amanda, thanks so very much for taking time speaking to us. How are you preparing for this fight, first and foremost?
Well, actually, you just caught me here in jiu-jitsu. I had to step out of class here for a few minutes and come talk to you fellas. But
thank you so very much for that.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. Things have been just ongoing for the last several months. I actually was expecting to take my last amateur fight here about like 2-3 months ago. And I was training long before that, and it kind of fell through because the girl had taken a fight in between and got TKO'd and beaten up and hurt. So she stepped out from that. So I just, you know, from there, I've been just been getting ready for this fight, and getting ready for my pro debut in Invicta.
And you definitely had a successful amateur career, going 5-1. Your last one coming out in November, but. Are you going to be ready to go? Tamika Brent should be fighting at Invicta FC 4. Now, what made you decide to go pro?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What made you decide to go pro?
Well, it's been in my line of sight for a while now. I wanted to kind of take my time jumping into it. I wanted to take a few more fights because because of my own personal reasons, but I just realized that it's been so hard even getting girls to commit to fights with me as an amateur. So, and Invicta has had me on the radar for quite some time. It was just kind of about time for me to do it, and it was now or never, because, you know, the longer I wait without any success and having, you know, a fight actually, you know, go through, the more I start to fall behind. So it was basically just at that point I needed to take that next step.
Now, Amanda, I was reading about you that you have fought in different weight classes, even in heavier weight classes, as you know, where it's pretty hard to find opponents.
I wasn't in those weight classes for very long, and I just reached that I was 5-1, and actually, my very, very first fight isn't on official record because it was a non-sanctioned fight that the promoter never actually put in, so my record is actually 6-1. In that fight, I was 195. I went into that fight against a girl who was 250, because, like I said, there was no commission,
wow,
no sanctioning, and nothing like that. Yeah, so I took the fight anyway, and I won 2 minutes and 35 seconds in the first round against her. And then from there, I decided to kind of come down and wait. And I knew I could, and I wanted to see how low I could get. I never would have guessed, though, that I would have got down to 145. So I went from 195 to 187, and then 165, and then down to two fights at 155, and then my last two fights were at 145. And I actually... what became so difficult, and it was no longer the fact of not being able to find opponents, but finding girls who would actually commit and take the fight. A lot of their coaches would say that their girl, or they wouldn't allow their girl to fight me. So it was, you know, it was about time for me to take a step to the next level of girls who were a little more at my level of competition, because it went from not being able to find opponents to finding opponents who just would not fight me.
Gotcha. Wow. From 195, you went to 145?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a progression over the last three, four years. But, yeah, and it all those heavier weight classes actually disappeared pretty quickly. And I stayed at 155 for two fights and then got to 145 for two more fights. And now 145 is my class.
Well, I know I'm sure a lot of listeners right now are going to probably hit you up on Facebook. What's the secret? Because a lot of folks here... I don't know that secret from 195 to 145 and looking at a fit weight. Camilo, a question for Amanda Bell?
Yes, hi, Amanda. This is Camilo. Obviously, you've been in a fight before, but this is going to be your pro MMA debut. What are you feeling right now? Is it excitement? Are you antsy just to get this over with and continue with your pro career?
I'm actually very happy because, I mean, I've been out of the cage for nearly a year now. My last fight was November 19th in Kentucky. I fought against Jessamyn Duke, who's actually in Invicta right now. And just from there, I couldn't get a fight. I couldn't find one. And I couldn't get a girl to commit to my fight. And I actually tried to take one in California against a girl who was willing to take the fight. She only had about two or three of them under her belt. And the California Commission wouldn't allow the fight because my record was so much higher than hers. And then this last fight that I was supposed to take, the girl took a fight in between, and that was a huge mistake because she ended up getting, you know, losing and being automatically suspended for 2 weeks, 3 weeks from our fight. So it just wasn't going to happen. So at this point, I'm just relieved to know that, you know, I'm getting a fight. You know, it's a pro debut. I'm very happy about that. I'm not too concerned about, you know, the hype of it and, you know, the extra two minutes that are going to go into the rounds. And Tamika Brentz, I've heard of for quite a while. I had opportunities to fight her in the past, but during those times I was actually having some stalemates during practice. I wasn't, you know, I train in a town that's completely out of the way of mine. So, and my car wasn't working at the time and I didn't have any way to get out there. So I wasn't training and I couldn't commit to the fight because I just wasn't ready physically. So for this, actually, it's kind of strange to say that nearly like months ago, I saw myself actually, I don't know what it was, a long, long time ago, I just kind of pictured myself fighting her in the pros, and it's not a huge shock to me, actually, that she's my debut. In a nutshell, I kind of predicted that to be the case long time ago, and so when her name came up, it wasn't too rattling, because I know exactly who she is, so... overall, I'm just very happy. I'm very, very excited that it's Invicta FC that I get to go pro in, because it's a good stage. It's a very, very, you know, very good opportunity for me to have the exposure that I need in order, you know, to progress my career. So overall, like I said, I'm just happy.
Well, are you a believer that everything happens for a reason? Because I mean, your pro debut is going to be at the beginning of 2013. It's going to be a new chapter in your life, and it's going to be in a somewhat new organization that has taken over the female MMA scene.
I do actually firmly believe that, you know, things happen the way that, you know, the energy of life flows. It doesn't surprise, like I said, it doesn't surprise me that Tamika Brents was my first opponent, because I don't know, it just, I feel like it's a big test for me at this point in time, and you know, it's one that I got to take with a full heart. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I do believe, you know, things at this point do happen for a reason, and you know, life will lead you in the direction that you're supposed to go, and you find out why, you know, as you go along.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously, you know, in this sport, you know, winning is always going to set you apart from all other athletes competing in this sport. But what else do you think is going to set you apart as a professional fighter in this 2013?
Well, I think overall kind of what sets me apart is just the extension of the martial arts background that I come from. And that alone, actually, it went beyond, you know, the physical of what I know, and it goes down to the mental and the spiritual of what I know and what I follow and what I believe. I'm a very different individual, when it comes down to it. So I think just honestly what sets me apart is just my overall background, where I come from, what I believe and what I know, and just how I train and how seriously I take everything. I have that martial arts mentality that, you know, there's always room for improvement. You know, I strive to be the best, knowing that I'm never going to be the best, that I'm never going to be perfect, but I always strive for that perfection no matter what.
Gotcha. Well, Amanda, we're going to let you go back to your jiu-jitsu. We appreciate that. You know, I just think that's very diverse, the fact that you took some time out to train and speak to us. We've had a couple of guys actually have done that, but you're actually very cool and calm. So you're definitely, your cardio must be in tip-top shape.
Oh, yeah. That's actually what, my training that I go through, I mean, I just got done grappling for 10 straight minutes with one of the purple belts in here, and that alone at the very end of it, I felt great, even though, you know, like I said, we went for 10 solid minutes. And then even when I do boxing and my cardio conditioning, when we do 5-minute rounds, I take 30-second breaks. So that way when I'm in the cage, that 1 minute just seems like forever. So I always do everything I can to be up on par and ready to go, as well as being very strict on my nutrition.
Well, Amanda, we want to wish you just the best of luck on Invicta FC number 4, January 5th. You can watch it live on InvictaFC.com. If you're in Canada, you can get your tickets there, or you can watch it live on Invicta FC wherever you are in the world. Amanda, thank you so very much for calling in, and I'll talk to you soon, and we'll be talking about a W.
Great. Is it all right if I kind of give a shout-out to my sponsors
and
my coaches and everything?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to Tough Prints from out of the Nevada area, who are going to be printing on my logos, all on my banner and my sports bra and my shorts, everything like that. Polani Watches and Luxani Wheels are picking me up for this fight, and coming into my pro debut. Local Max Muscle out of here, out of Medford, they help me with my nutrition and my supplements. Jeff and all the guys from all the team from Clinch Mouth Guards, they're going to be sending me a mold kit to get 2 custom mouth guards so that I'm protected and ready for this fight. My fight manager, Jason Ellis, and his team from Relentless Sports Management and Marketing, they're the reasons why I've got, you know, everybody underneath me right now helping me out. I want to say thank you to a local man here named Slade Bittler, who came to the dojo and donated a bunch of training gear and clothes to me and stuff, things I really needed to get myself going. Eric Salas from Eric Salas Productions. He did all my photography that honestly boosted me through and got people noticing me because of his, you know, the art that he did for me. Mike, he's a fella here who's actually in jiu-jitsu with us. He owns a shop here called Puffs, and he's going to be helping me to aid in my training and pay for some of my classes to get me through. All the guys, Skippy Cohen, Love, Lepaki from MMA Madhouse, I hope they're listening tonight. My two coaches, Pistol Pete Longkarevic from Lotus Club and Jose Monifor from Fabian's, and those guys have been like fathers to me for the last several years, and they're the reasons why I've gotten to where I'm at right now and why, you know, my skill is where I'm at for it. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. Both of them are the Lady Killer 00, so you can follow me everywhere where I'm at just by finding me on there. And thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be on your show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Amanda, and have a great rest of the workout.
Great, thank you. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. You too, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, there you go, Camilo. Amanda Bell will be fighting in Invicta FC January 5th. It's going to be a good card, man, and very early in the year, the fifth day of the year, and we'll be watching some great fights coming out of Invicta FC. But before we welcome into the new year, I want to mention some of the fights going on this week. Of course, we've got the UFC and Fox, but that's not the only one because we're going to have the the XFC fight on Access TV. We had Nick Newell here not too long ago. He'll be fighting Eric Reynolds. That's for the lightweight title. And that's going to be an exciting fight. It's getting a lot of buzz on the net, Camilo.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's a good fight that people are going to be able to enjoy. And like you said earlier, too, you know, you got the Manny Pacquiao fight right after the Fox
yes.
fight. And Friday, you got Bellator 84. It's going to be
right.
The heavyweight title fight is the main event, I believe.
Well, Ram Martinez versus Chabulat Chamaliev. Is that part of the tournament? That's part of the tournament. And Anthony Leon versus Zach Makovsky. And the co-main event. And Jessica Ai versus Zoila Gurgel. That airs on MTV2 starting at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I guess they're going early this time. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then the Spike TV, the preliminary starting at 5 p.m. That's Bellator 83, December
7th. Yeah, 84 is the one that's the heavyweight title. It's the conclusion of the tournament, but the winner is going to become the new heavyweight champion that Cole Conrad left vacant.
That's right. That's right. It was vacant, so they'll finally find someone for it. And that's going to be next week.
Yeah.
On December 14th. And that'll pretty much conclude it for this year because Bellator 85 will take place on January 10th. So that pretty much finishes off the season for Bellator, which, well, that will be their debut on Spike TV, January 10th, Bellator 85. And I know they've been having a voting on fights, which is pretty interactive as far as what they're doing over there in Bellator. Pretty neat,
yeah.
Well, Camila, I think now this is Leslie who called in. She's calling a little late, but Leslie, are you there?
I'm here. Here I am.
How are you, Leslie? No worries. No worries. Better late than never. Welcome to the Roman Show. You'll be fighting also on the Invicta FC number 4 card coming up on January 5th. You'll be fighting Raquel Pennington, who's 3-2-1. And you 4-2-1, which is pretty funny. Both of you girls have a draw in your records.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And now your last fight on Invicta was a rematch. Prior to that, you had a draw, and then you ended up winning this last fight. Now, tell me about this coming fight on Invicta FC 4, which is in January 5th and can be seen live on InvictaFC.com. How are you preparing and how are you getting ready for this one?
I'm doing it all. I'm doing the boxing. I'm doing the jiu-jitsu. I'm doing the wrestling. I'm working on my cardio. I'm building up my strength. I'm working on my endurance. I'm really lucky that I have access to all of that. That I've got stuff to do, training 5 times a day, and then you know, coaches that care enough to sometimes say, "Hey, you can't train 5 times a day." There's rest needed too.
One thing that catches my attention about you, Leslie. One thing that catches my attention about you, Leslie, is you call yourself the peacemaker.
Yes.
How so? Can you explain that nickname for us?
There's just so many meanings that I really like it. There's something in it that everybody can identify. First off, I like peace. I'm kind of a hippie. I really, that's part of my personality, and it's something that I bring into the ring, is that I'm not usually, angry at the world. I'm actually a pretty happy person, and I'm happy to be in the ring, and I'm happy to be fighting, and it's a positive thing for me. So, there's that. And then there's all the other interpretations of peacemaker that you can think of. You know, some people think of it was like a pistol, it was the peacemaker, or, there's some trouble in the front yard. You say, I'm going to go grab my peacemaker. You go inside, you grab your bat. There's all those other versions of it. I like things that have a lot of different meanings.
There you go. Camilo?
Yeah, I saw your nickname. No, this is Camilo. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Leslie. When I saw your nickname, I automatically envisioned you as, the person who was breaking up fights or standing up to bullies, trying to make everything peaceful, trying to avoid, bad situations. That's what I thought.
I like that. I like that. And that's something that I think of female fighters and these female fight cards and all the press and everything that's feeding into that. I think that that's transforming the world right now in the way that women are perceived and perceived by themselves. And I feel like it's bringing about more peace because women are seeing themselves more as, able to fight and fighters and standing up for themselves and the less that the they perceive themselves as victims, that we perceive ourselves as, the weaker sex, I think that that's going to bring about more peace. That's going to make everybody a lot happier. It's a better balance.
Yeah, well, you sound like a very happy and positive person, and they say that, those positive vibes that you send out into space, eventually they come back to you in one way or another. So hopefully it'll be translated in with a victory in your upcoming fight.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, what's worse? Is it is having a fight canceled days before an event goes down or actually going through a fight and having the judges decide it's a draw?
What was the first one?
I was asking you, for you, what is worse, having a fight canceled, a couple of days before an event, or actually going through a fight and then having the judges say it was a draw?
This is going to sound funny because I know that everyone gets really pissed when a fight gets canceled, but I grow so much during my fight camp, and there's such a big, huge development and progress for me, and just for me to be like, yeah, I'm in a fight, I'm ready, I've trained, to go through that honing of my skills, I still benefit from it. I still come up. I mean, I don't get paid from it, but I still, it makes me a better person and a better fighter to practice getting ready for a fight. And I've never actually had one canceled right before a fight, but I have been in a draw, and man, that sucks. You go home, at first it's okay because you're like, well, at least I got paid. But then you go home and everyone's like, oh, yeah, did you win? And you got to say no. And that's lousy, lousy.
Now, you're a very positive person, like you said. So how do you get warmed up? How do you get the anger out of you when you step inside the cage? What is it? What's the key? Is it the music or anything specific that you have on your iPhone or iPod before you listen to prior to getting into a fight?
No, I just try to find my own peace. This is actually I've never really gone in with a chip on my shoulder before. This is going to be one of the first times. Raquel Pennington used to be a training partner of mine when I was in Colorado. Oh. She was the first person I trained with. We spent a lot of time together. I gave her tickets to the first Invicta.
Wow.
I introduced her to one of the matchmakers for the show at the first Invicta. So when she signed this fight, I was like, really? Really?
Wow.
So this is going to be kind of a different place for me to be fighting from, to be completely honest. I'm just happy to be there. I'm stoked to be in the ring. I'm glad that I got the opportunity. I want to make my coaches proud of me. And I'm just about centering and focusing myself. And by the time that I go in the ring, I'm not going to let any kind of anger or, emotion cloud me. But there's definitely going to be some coals smoldering after, because I'm using it in my training. Definitely using it in my training.
So, Leslie, your opponent Raquel was a sparring partner of yours, and you just found out when Invicta told you who your opponent was? You didn't know about anything about this?
Well, I knew they were looking for an opponent for me. I was going to fight Sarah Kaufman, but then that didn't work out for health reasons, she said, which is a bummer. Man, that would have been such a good fight. I don't think, and it would have made her look good, too, because I don't think there's any other fighter right now that would have stood up with Sarah Kaufman and fought that same fight, you know, that exciting stand-up, going-for-it fight. I think pretty much anybody else she fights is going to try to take her down. So it's a bummer we didn't get to do that, but I knew they were looking for somebody else. And then yeah, Invicta called me and said, yeah, we got Raquel Pennington for you. They're 100% in. I was like, really? Really?
Now, were you cool when you guys trained, or did you have a little...
No, there was no bad blood ever. We were 100% cool. And, you know, I don't know where she's coming from. I don't know if she thinks we're going to be friends and it's just a paycheck, because if she is thinking that, she's tripping, because that's not the way it is. This is a fight. She's trying to take my money. She's trying to mess me up in front of everybody. She's trying to make, it's just not going to happen. it's not going to happen. I don't know what her thought was, or if she thought that, you know, I mean, she's just not in the same league. She's good. She's been training a
strong
while.
Words
she's been training
you.
Hard.
Strong words. Strong words out of you coming as far as speaking about your opponent, Leslie, as you're getting ready for action.
I don't mean to be a trash talker, and it's really important to me to stay humble. And like I said, you know, she's good, and I'm not trying to elevate myself, you know, more than what I've earned. But maybe I'm saying too much. Maybe I should keep it quiet.
No worries, Camilo.
Yeah, Leslie, you know what? I like your energy, your attitude, your outlook on life, I guess. Do you have any, I guess, superstition before a fight, or do you have, like, a lucky towel, a lucky glove that you use, and also do you meditate before a fight, since you said that you like to be focused?
You know, I don't meditate. I do a lot of visualization leading up to it, a lot of visualization. Going to sleep at nighttime, I sit down, I picture the fight, I picture good outcomes. One thing that I take with me, that's kind of a meditation thing, kind of like that, is I make sure that I'm full of gratitude for the situation, because you can't be grateful and fearful at the same time. So the more that I appreciate the opportunity and that I'm grateful for the opportunity, that I'm grateful for the training that I had leading up to it, that I'm grateful for everything about it, the fans, creating the market, for Invicta, creating a forum, all of it. I just make sure I'm really grateful.
Well, Leslie, you know, I'm grateful that we got the opportunity to talk to you and get a little more information and background on who you are as a person. Again, you know, I like your attitude and your energy. It's awesome to be able to chat with somebody like you.
Thank you. I appreciate you talking to me.
Absolutely, Leslie. Well, Leslie, thanks very much for calling in. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Yeah, one last thing. I just want to say thank you to LBR. It's Loyalty Before Royalty. They've been such an awesome sponsor for me, and they're going to have their website going really soon, so you can get tons of really cool MMA gear that's fashionable for chicks, too. I mean, it's for guys and chicks, but so much of the gear out there, it's like, it's just straight guy stuff. You know, this is going to
awesome.
Be cute stuff, too.
Well, Leslie, thanks so very much for calling in again, and hopefully see you soon, and we'll be talking about a W.
Nice. Thank you.
All righty. Good night, Leslie.
Okay.
Thanks so very much.
You too.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
All right, there you have it. Leslie Smith will be fighting in action on January 5th. Now, Camila, we're going to go off the air right now, but if you download the episode, you can listen to the entire show in its entirety. We're going to play right now the Mike Chiesa interview. That pretty much does it, wraps it for us. But tune in to the Mike Chiesa interview. It's a very interesting one. You don't want to miss it. Camilo, your final thought?
Nah, man, awesome show. I like Leslie's attitude. Her energy is very positive. She sounds like a very nice person. And also, I want to invite everybody to listen to El Octagono this Sunday. We do it every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. through UniverseMiami.com. You know, it's brought to you guys by our sponsor, Sent to Print New York. And we're going to have Ruben Duran, who's going to be fighting in the Top 16 finale on December 15th. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Dave Jensen, who fights in Bellator 84. And also from Top 16 finale, we're going to have Mike Pyle with us on the show. And from Fighter Source, we're going to have Anthony Medina and an old friend of ours, Zen Rodriguez, they're going to join us to talk about what Fight Source is doing for the amateur world in MMA.
Right, which I know, they're working on possibly getting into the Olympics from what I understand.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you know how important amateur events are for fighters who are trying to make it. You announced an event this Friday. You made your comeback, quote-unquote comeback.
Yeah. I did make my comeback, I must say, and that is why I think I lost my voice. When you're off for a year, you got to get back in shape. Not shape physically, but your voice. But it was a lot of fun, man.
Huh? You had ring rust?
I did have some ring rust. I did. You know, my voice-wise. And the whole speaking and getting the crowd pumped, that was no challenge. But the voice. I just wasn't used to the... Because you really got to control your voice level when you're announcing. You gotta get a little tricks, and I had a little rust, man, I must admit, and I think that caused me to lose my voice a little bit and get me a little sick. But maybe it's just me just saying, being a little superstitious. But it was a lot of fun. Saw a lot of action, and to all you guys out there that came out, thanks for coming out. And I think they'll have one, I think in February or something. But you could just listen to the show. We'll keep you updated. And I want to let everyone know that next week we're going to have Tim Boyce, who will be fighting at the UFC 155 card. And we're also going to have MMA legend Hoyce Gracie is scheduled to be in the Roman show next week. That should be a lot of fun, Camilo, interviewing a legend like Hoyce Gracie.
Yeah, man. Let's see, those guys, they paved the way for MMA fighters now.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun, and we're only looking forward to having them on. We're also going to have Rock Torches and Jason Glade, who will be fighting in regional shows, but they'll be talking about their fight coming up soon this month. Well, with that said, Camilo, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Visit the website, RodolphRoman.com. And, guys, we're giving away free toys to those golden meat. If you live in Miami, Florida, email us to romandh@yahoo.com. If you have some suggestions, just feel free to just throw down their names or their information, and we will reach out to them. And also, we're giving away free stuff. Just write in there, I want a free T-shirt, romandh@yahoo.com, or tweet it at romandh, and we'll hook you up. But that said, Camilo, we're going to play this Mike Chiesa interview. Enjoy the interview, guys. Unfortunately, it wasn't on the card, but he does have a lot of nice things to say and good stuff. Camilo, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Dale, man.
Here we go. Welcome back, everyone, to the Roman Show. And on the line, I have the ultimate fighter himself, Mike Chiesa, joining me on the line. Mike, he's going to be ready to fight this coming Saturday. You can watch it live on FX. Mike Chiesa is going to be fighting on that card, but it's part of the UFC on Fox 5 with Diaz and Anderson, but he's going to be part of the preliminary, and he'll be taking on Marcus Levasseur. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Mike, welcome. Thank you so much for taking some time and speaking to us here, man.
Oh, no, thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. Now, Mike, tell me about this, because your opponent was Rafael Oliveira. He got hurt. He had a broken hand, and they gave you Marcus. The guy has a lot of fights under his belt, over 20-something fights. He has a nice record. How are you preparing for this fight, and do you think this is your toughest fight so far?
Yeah, Marcus, he's a very decorated wrestler. Aside from Kale Sanderson, he's the only other guy in college history to go undefeated and win four national titles. So he's got great wrestling credentials. You know, he does have a pretty extensive record, but you know, my record may say no, but it doesn't include the four fights I had on the show plus the 11 amateur fights I had before. So I wouldn't say he's had two, you know, that many more fights than me. I'd say I have just as much ring experience as he does. You know, the Oliveira fight, you know, that was a very interesting matchup. You know, Oliveira's a very tough guy. His only losses are in the UFC, aside from his one loss in Elite XC to one of my training partners, Lyle Beerbaum. So, you know, it was a very intriguing matchup in that aspect. And, you know, it was a shame with him falling out. Oliveira's a very nice guy. He's a class act. So, you know, we talked a little bit, you know, when he released, he broke his hand. And in Levesser, you know, you got a very decorated wrestler, you know, very explosive athlete. You know, he's just a tough guy. But in preparing for this fight, you know, I'm not huge on game planning. I like to just make myself better as a fighter. I know he's a wrestler. All I need to know is the guy righty or lefty, and what does he like to do, and I'll just go from there. So every fight I try to train to make myself better. I don't want to train myself around guys and their skill sets, because I don't really feel like that makes me progress as a fighter.
Now, Mike, obviously this is your first fight after the Ultimate Fighter, when you defeated Alec Quinta to become the Ultimate Fighter. So this is your first shot coming out on a big, big, big show, knowing that this thing is going to be part of the Fox Network, which is a big deal. But, of course, you'll take any fight because you're a fighter. But would you have preferred Oliveira over Marcus, or it just doesn't really matter, or just a different challenge from either one of these guys?
You know, they're two different styles, obviously, Oliveira being a decorated black belt, Marcus being a decorated wrestler. I don't feel like, matchup-wise, I don't feel like they're too far off from each other. Both are very tough guys, and, you know, they could have called me to fill in for the title fight main event this Saturday, and I would have taken it, you know what I mean? I'm not too particular. I'm very glad to be where I'm at, and I pride myself on not being one of those guys that's going to be picky about who I'm fighting. Joe Silva calls me and tells me I'm fighting somebody, I'm going to say yes, and that's just, you know, that's just kind of the way it should be. I'm not in the sport for anything other than the challenge, so I feel like I would be totally lying to myself if I was to try and pick my fights, so I just take whoever they put in front of me.
And I know we've been hearing a lot of that stuff happening lately. Some guys turning down some fights, and some guys saying, no, I don't want to fight that guy because of this and because of that. You remember the John Jones thing, but it's nice to hear from your end. You know, it's always a big debate. It's always a big debate, especially among fans, like, oh, I should have taken that one. And then the other guys say, no, it's a business. You gotta protect yourself. So I came here for what you said. You know, you're ready to fight anyone at any time.
You know, and it also depends on different guys' situations, you know what I mean? When guys are, you know, getting close to a title shot, you know, they're going to be a little bit more particular in who they fight, or, you know, if you're the champion, you know, you gotta do what's best for you, or whatever you feel is best for you. But for me, I mean, just from my perspective, I feel like it's best for myself and how I sleep at night if I just say yes to whoever they fight. If Joe Stowe was to call me and ask me to fight somebody, and I was to go, ooh, ew, you know, I don't really know if I want to fight that guy. I'd get off the phone with him, and I'd be mad at myself. I'd feel like I lost a fight.
Well, Mike, you definitely have you're part of that big card, man. It's going to be on Fox, but you're going to be leading in the preliminary card because you're going to be on FX, which is actually starts at 5 p.m., which is pretty neat. So we'll have fights from like 3:30 p.m., which is awesome on Saturday. But being part of this fight card, which I've mentioned, features champion Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz. Tell me that feeling. I mean, you must be feeling some goosebumps, man. You're definitely setting up the stage for these two guys to go in on, and the rest of the guys, like BJ Penn, he's coming back and going up against Warren McDonald, and it's just a stacked card.
Oh, man, it's, you know, on top of it being one of, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on this card, I think it's the best card of the year. I mean, you got BJ Penn versus Rory McDonald, you know, old lion versus, you know, young up-and-comer, and you got, you know, Shogun versus Gustafson, which is just, you know, that's the same situation. And just to say, you know, when I get to be an old man, being able to say I fought on the same card as BJ Penn and Shogun, you know, Nate Diaz, Ben Henderson, you know, Nate Diaz and Ben Henderson, they're going to be in the same spot as Shogun and BJ. They're going to be legends of the sport, you know, guys that are pioneers, you know what I mean? And, you know, on top of this being such a great card, this is only 4 hours from my house. I mean, this is my home state. This is Washington. And it's kind of a spiritual thing for me, I guess you could say. Earlier this summer, I was out training with Dennis Hallman, and my last night that I was over there, I decided to go stay downtown. And I went on a walk real late at night down to the Space Needle and actually walked around the Key Arena, and the security guard was coming out to kick me off the premises. And she's like, "Hey, are you the guy that just won the Ultimate Fighter?" I was like, "Yeah, can I come in the Key Arena and kind of check it out?" She's like, "Yeah, sure." So she lets me in the Key Arena. I mean, it's really eerie. There's nobody there. It's empty. It's, you know, it's like 2 a.m. And I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, it would be really cool to fight here. You know, just sometime in my career, fight at the Key Arena. And sure enough, a month later, they're calling me, "Hey, you're fighting in Seattle, Rafael Oliveira." I was like, what? So it's a big fight for me, man. It's got a lot, on top of it being such a loaded card, you know, just being able to fight in front of my family and friends maybe one more time, you know, means a lot to me.
And that, like you said, it must be a dream come true. And now, you know, something that you wanted all your life, and to be part of the UFC and to have these fans. Yeah, that's just an awesome feeling. I could just imagine. So, how many people are going to be out there supporting you that night? Do you have a head count?
Just for friends and family alone that I have coming with me, I got like 100. Just as far as like people that I called and kind of got tickets and got them lined out and stuff, I got 100. But there'll be more than that. There's going to be a lot of people there, a lot of supporters, you know, I fought a lot of my pro career outside of the UFC, a lot of my amateur and pro career. I fought a lot of it over in Seattle, you know, a lot of it in Washington, and, you know, the UFC only goes to Seattle once every 2 years. And so this may be the last time in my career that I do fight in Seattle, the last time I do get a fight in Washington. You know, so it's a big deal for me, man, to get out there in front of my friends and family and fans in my home state and go put on a show on one of the biggest cards of the year. I mean, it to me, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
That is just awesome, Mike. And Mike facing Marcos as a level 4 on the preliminary card on FX. This takes place this Saturday, live from Seattle, Washington at the Key Arena. And just a great story from your end, man. You went out there when the arena was silent, was quiet. Just picturing yourself in it, and look at, there it is, boom, it happened. That's just amazing. Now, Mike, knowing that you were part of the Ultimate Fighter, have you had a chance to watch the show, and did you find yourself saying, wow, why the heck did I do that, or why the heck did I see this?
You know, I haven't gone back and watched too much of the show. It's something I'm, you know, I have the DVDs. I just haven't opened them yet, you know, and I'm just really not sure if I'm ready to relive it yet. You know, obviously my dad, just, you know, I think about my dad every day and stuff, but I think that going back and watching the season, you know, it's going to kind of, there's still some hot coals, and I feel like that might throw some gas on them. So I'm just, I kind of want to wait till after this fight to go back and watch the show. But, you know, I have gone back and watched my fights.
Right.
At least in my fights, I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? What was I doing? Like, I fought like, you know, I fought like crap, you know. But as far as watching the whole reality aspect, I haven't gone back and watched it yet.
Not training for this fight, Mike. You're training with some of the guys you shared the house with, no?
Yeah, I actually, John Cofer came out, and he trained with me for a week here in Spokane. That was real good. John and I have a really good relationship. You know, we actually met at the medicals leading up to the show. So we've pretty much been friends for almost a year now. So having him come out here to Washington to train was great. He's a very tough guy. He was a Division I wrestler. So, you know, he gave me a really good look as far as being a Mark Slavesser. And, you know, it was just great to have him out. And I also, Chris Tickle came out for a little bit. He stayed with Sam. So I got to train with Tickle a little bit. Not too much, just a couple days, but, you know, I got some decent rounds in with him. So, yeah, it was kind of cool getting to train with a couple guys from the show.
That is awesome, man. That's great, you know, because you shared this, you know, this house, and at times when you put a bunch of dudes in a house, there's some animosity. But it's good to hear that you guys help each other out, to help each other out with their dreams or whatnot, or to get successful in the business. So that's nice to see, man.
Yeah, and, you know, they're really, I have a good relationship, I feel like, with everybody that was on the show, on either team. I mean, they're really, everybody pretty much got along, you know, so I feel like I could, any one of these guys, I could call them and be like, hey, man, you want to come out and train? And, you know, I know that they'd be willing to do that, and I would do the same. You know, any of the guys, whether I fought them or not, or anything, you know, they could call me and say, hey, you know, you want to come out and help me out? I'd say yes, you know what I mean? I got a good relationship with these guys, and I feel like the 16 of us that were in that house, you know, we have a different relationship just because we weren't there for 6 weeks. We were there for 13. And, you know, when you spend 3 months with the same guys every day, you're going to build relationships. And, you know, I feel like I got a special relationship with every single guy in that house.
And now, have you kept up with your coach?
Uriah?
Yeah, with Uriah. Oh, have you kept up with him? Have you spoken to him, or did he give some tips after the show?
Oh, yeah. He came out to Spokane to do an appearance. That was after the Burrell fight, so he didn't really train. He had his rib injury. And when I started training camp for the fight this Saturday, I actually went out to Sacramento for about 9 days, I think, and got some training in at Team Alpha Male, you know, with all the guys, Chad Mendez, Uriah, TJ Dillashaw, Lance Palmer. That's where Cofer stays right now, so John Cofer was out there. A lot of good guys were out there, got some good rounds, and it was a good way to start my camp off. I mean, started hard, man. It just jumped right into the deep end, so... I still talk to Uriah on a regular basis. He's a really good guy, and you know, the one thing that I learned a lot from him too is not just how to be a better fighter and how to train like a professional, but also how to be a professional. You know, Uriah is not just a great fighter; he's a great businessman. And anytime I feel like I got a question about something or how to handle something, I call him and he gives me quality advice. I mean, because if you look at him, you know, he's successful at what he does inside and outside of the cage.
That is just awesome, Mike. And now, Mike, we understand now that you recently signed with First Round Management, these guys are other leaders in management. You know, they have John Jones, and they have their great names out there. Why did you decide to sign up with this management company, First Round?
Well, I had actually met Ricky when I was doing a signing in Florida right after the show. And, you know, Conde was out there and, you know, talking to Ricky, and he was kind of like, you know, saying how he was interested in me signing with him. And I just told him, hey, you know, I don't want to rush into anything. You know, I'm just 3 days off the show. Wanted to just kind of, you know, take a break from the fight world for a little bit before I commit to anything. And, you know, once I took the fight, I started doing my research on other management companies. and I just felt that First Round was the best fit for me. You know, I like a lot of the guys. I've met John, I've met Carlos, I've met Ben, and they're all really good guys. And, you know, I had a really good conversation with First Round's lawyer, and that pretty much sold me there. You know what I mean? When I had done my research and seen how all these other guys are set up, and all I hear about, it's funny. Everybody has something bad to say about everybody. I mean, that's just kind of how the world works in everything. I mean, football, basketball, soap operas, whatever, the work world, it doesn't matter. Everybody has something bad to say about everybody. And all the fighters that I talked to that were unhappy with the management companies were just talking about, oh, you know, I'm getting screwed, I'm locked into this, I'm not getting that, this and that. And the only bad thing I ever heard about First Round was, these guys are cocky. I'm like, all right, well, I haven't heard one guy say that they, you know, I have never heard one person say First Round screws people over, First Round does bad business. I never heard that. And so, you know, me being myself thinking, well, they're probably cocky because they have a reason to be. You know what I mean? They're the best in the business. They got John Jones for a reason. They got, you know, three champions for a reason. So I just called Ricky up and was like, man, let's do this. You know, I'm just the type of guy that I just don't jump into things like that. I do my research. You know, I did my research and, you know, it was the perfect fit for me. And I'm really blessed to be where I'm at. And I'm glad that Ricky reached out to me in Florida, because had he not, I don't know if I'd be signed with him right now. And I feel like it's one of the best choices for my career that I've made so far.
So for upcoming fighters that are trying to get in the name or have recently signed with the UFC, what would you suggest to them? You, like you said, do your research with management, but this is very important because, let's face it, not all you fighters can do everything on your own. You got to review the contracts and the money and so forth. But what would you suggest that they do before signing with a management company or a representative?
you know, do your research. Don't be afraid to call these guys. I mean, ultimately, you are your business. I mean, when you, to me, you know, when I get up in the morning, I'm punching the clock to go to work. You know what I mean? So, you know, how can I make my job better? You know, you feel like it doesn't seem that hard. Like, I can get my own sponsors. I can do all this stuff on my own. But in reality, you can't, man. It's stressful. Our job is to fight, and that's how it should be. And my advice to these guys coming up, I would just tell them, man, do your research and sign a manager, because, if, you know, your job is to fight all these other things. They may not seem like a big deal, but when you're run down, broke down, you know, you're putting yourself through the grind, trying to train for a fight, the last thing you feel like doing is calling people to find sponsors and setting up interviews and trying to do the things that really, you know, unless you got some kind of good marketing degree, or, you know, if you're tailor-made to do those kinds of things, it's just not fit for you. And, you know, just do your research. I did my research, and I recommend any guy coming up in the game, if anyone's looking for a management company, I'm going to send them the first round just because I did extensive research. I'm not going to sit here and name drop companies that I think suck, because, quite frankly, I saw some of these guys' contracts, and I was like, this is a joke. You know what I mean? I'm not going to name drop any companies, but I will say first round is the best company. It's the best fit for a fighter, and ultimately they take care of us. You don't got a guy sitting behind a laptop working for you. You have a whole team, you know, and to know that you have a full team, you know, you got a lawyer, you got a manager, you got all these guys that are doing things for you. It just feels good. It makes you feel like more of a professional.
Yeah, I know that about that. And, you know, and I'm perhaps you experienced this before you made it to the UFC, but I see some fighters down here in Florida that they train, but they have to sell tickets. They have to get their sponsors on the banner, sponsors on the shorts. They have to make their own interviews. And they work, and then they got to go train. And I could just imagine how much stress these guys have. I remember one guy who said that he didn't even have money to buy his own shorts to fight. So that could be very stressful. Did you experience anything like that before you made it to the UFC? Was it difficult for you, or did you encounter something like with the promoter saying you got to sell this amount of tickets?
No, fortunately for me, you know, as an amateur, I had a deal with, like, you know, there was a main amateur circuit I fought for, and, you know, the amateur athletes, we can't get paid, but, you know, he's like, hey, if you sell these tickets, you can make yourself a little money and stuff. So I did that. But as a professional, I never had to do anything like that. You know, I always worked a full-time job, so, you know, I always had proper equipment, you know, proper supplements. I was well-fed, well-taken care of. And that's the whole reason why I worked a full-time job, is I don't want to be that broke fighter that's like, man, I can't even buy myself a mouthpiece. You know, I'm not going to be that guy. But, you know, I had some small sponsors that reached out to me and helped me out as I made my way up. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, I did everything by myself. I didn't think about signing a management company when I was only making, you know, $1,000 a fight, you know, which is just chicken scratch compared to what I'm making now, which, you know, not saying I'm the richest guy on the planet, but I'm a very easy guy to please, man. I could live off 30 grand a year and be 100% content, you know, but I just, you know, these guys coming up, you know, I tell these guys, work a job until you make it to the big show. Don't be the broke fighter, because, you know, you don't want to get to the UFC and then have, you know, five figures of debt that you have to pay off. You know, and you're not making any money. It's just a dead end road. But, you know, work a job, take care of yourself, put your time in, put the hard work in. You make it to the big show, quit your job and have fun, make money, enjoy life.
You know, it doesn't go the day doesn't go by that I see a fighter tell me, you know, he's married, he has two kids, but his work is full time training, you know, training for a fight. So there you go. You heard it from a UFC fighter himself. Work. You never know. You always got to have a plan B, Mike, because you never know. You know, injuries always exist. And like you said,
yeah,
you know, it might not always work, go your way. But I
well,
remember.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I knew a guy that lost everything, and he just dedicated his time to training. But, you know, he got hurt, and that's pretty much it. You know, he literally had nothing. He had nothing in the bank, and especially with his economist, you know, that's tough that could get. Well, Mike, we wish you good luck, man, this Saturday. You can check him out on FX starting at 5 p.m. He'll be taking on Marcus Lebozo. I'm really hoping, Mike, I'm pronouncing that name. It sounds like French. Okay. I'm really hoping I pronounce it correct. You know, but Mike, thanks so much, man, for taking some time, and always a pleasure to have you here on the show. Had the opportunity of meeting you in person when you had that signing when Chuck Liddell was here. By the way, when Chuck Liddell was here, did you get to speak to him, and did you get some tips from him?
Oh, yeah, I had to. Dude, Chuck is still one of my all-time faves, man. I mean, how can you not love the Iceman? He's a good guy.
He's a legend. What exactly? Did you learn something? How long did you talk to him?
I talked to him a little bit, but he was one of the very few guys that, you know, I've gotten around and been a little bit starstruck. I mean, this is the guy that, you know, when I first started watching MMA, I was watching Chuck Liddell smoke all these guys, and, you know, talking to him, it was hard for me to think of questions. I wanted to ask him questions to get a piece of advice, but it was hard. I just wanted to, like, interact with him, you know what I mean? And, you know, I still, to this day, I'm like, man, if I see Chuck again, there's a couple things I want to ask him, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm sure there will come a day when him and I cross paths again.
Well, Mike, thanks so very much, man. Good luck this Saturday against Marcus. He is part of that UFC on Fox 5 card. Good luck, my man, and I hope to have you soon again on the program, and we'll be talking about that W, man, and getting closer to a title shot.
Oh, dude, one fight at a time, and just want to say thanks to First Round Management, my boxing coach, Mike, my MMA coach, Rick, and just all my teammates, all my family and friends that helped me out.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
What's up, this your boy Kimo Slice, and if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Aroma. If you keep your eyes up on that man, you'll be all right, you'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Aroma. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.